The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in Progress.
We've been coming to the same party for 12 years now, and in no way is that depressing.
With Fred Kirsch.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show and see if she likes the goods.
Just doing my workout.
It's a deep burn. Oh, so deep.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group.
I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon, but I also nickname my testes. My left one is
Quinn.
And my right one?
Mendenhall.
You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
Eric Scalavino.
Veronica and I are trying this new fad called, jogging. I believe it's jogging or yogging. It might be a soft J.
For now, anyway.
You are pathetic. This has to be the feeblest pickup attempt that I have ever encountered. You have a massive erection.
Really? Yes, I do. I'm sorry. It's the pleats.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Skyrockets in flight.
Boo!
Afternoon delight.
Whoop!
Afternoon delight.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress, and I have to say, as much as Media Day is stupid, I wish I was there. Don't you guys?
So Paul just told me.
Yeah.
As he shook his head in sarcastic.
I actually just said to Eric, I wish I was there when they showed the overhead of the 8 million people crammed in there.
Yeah.
And then he shook his head and closed his
and
eyes.
We should be there. But we're moving on here on PFW.
Is anybody talking to anyone other than Randy Moss? The only tweets I see and stuff is from Randy Moss.
Who, by the way, said that he does consider himself the greatest receiver of all time.
He's got a right to.
At worst, he's two.
Yeah.
He also apparently said, I don't like my role.
Yes.
And also, when asked if he wanted to be back in San Francisco, next question. He's Randy being Randy.
Oh, boy. Anyway,
being in the Super Bowl is a dream.
He loves using the stage to get what he wants, you know, whether it's a trade or more money or whatever. He's not bashful about doing that. All right, but we're moving on here. We're not going to be dwelling on the fact that the Patriots aren't in the Super Bowl because we're thinking ahead. Talking about 2013, talk about the offseason, Patriots moves that they should make, all that good stuff.
Jason Vega.
This is the only real place he can do that, right?
Do you know who Jason Vega is?
He is Northeastern's finest.
Nice. Paul's favorite Patriot.
Yes.
He's going to break down the scouting report on Jason Vega, who played at Northeastern some 5 years ago.
Right. What is he, like 43 or something
like
that?
26, I think.
26? All right. So we'll be talking about
it's
all
not
of that.
Not going to be what you expect from Paul Perillo.
I already have Armin Armstead's nickname. It's Armin Hammer. Is going to be his nickname.
Wow, that's really good.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah,
excellent. Never heard anybody named Armin that they called Armin Hammer.
But that's good.
More sarcasm from PFW.
Put down the hammer, Armin Hammer.
I thought Spikes was. Oh no, he's our fist.
He's
you
the
call
Sandman.
Him the fit.
Well, he's the fist of the he's the fist.
No, he's got too many nicknames. He can't keep track of them.
Well, he calls himself the Sandman, but I call him the fist.
He calls himself the Sandman?
I thought he did, didn't he?
Spikes?
Yeah. No?
Not only Fred makes up names for himself, he thinks other people make up names for themselves.
No, Manti Te'o's girlfriend told me that was his nickname.
Why? Because he puts people to sleep?
Yeah. He said, here come the Sandman, put you to sleep. No?
I think you
might be right.
I think you might be right.
I've never heard him say that, but you might be right.
All right. Anyway, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Dickin
hotline.
You know
how you always say that's the name most associated?
Yeah.
Sandman is the name I most associate with Brandon Spikes. Yeah, I don't know if he gave it to himself or Fred
gave
it to
him. When your last name is Spikes, though, you really don't need a nickname. You know, Spikes.
Well, I think that's the whole thing with his celebration, which I really actually do like. I think it's a great celebration.
It's the best in the NFL.
The Railroad Spike.
Yep. Best in the league.
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. We get a lot of good emails, and I tweeted out earlier that I promised to get to them today. You know, we still might get phone calls, but we're going to do a thing today with the phone calls. If we start to get a lot, 30 seconds. You start to talk, the timer starts, 30 seconds, you're done.
We got to be like a real radio show now. We get too many calls, too many emails. We're trying to get everybody involved.
No, but,
we got to move on.
So Paul can't call in.
I don't want to disenfranchise the callers because God knows there might be a day, like you said earlier, Andy, we might need those callers.
We might need them to be long-winded.
I don't want to be like, don't call the show anymore. But we do have a lot of emails, and a lot of them put some thought to it. There's some good stuff in the emails that I want to get to today.
Nobody goes to that restaurant. It's too crowded.
It's too crowded.
Yeah.
No one goes there.
Right.
I have a rant at whatever point you'd like to tell me to rant.
Well, go ahead.
No, hold off on that.
It's football related, but.
Well, it's the top of the show, so why don't we set the table? Go ahead.
I hate Ray Lewis.
You hate Ray Lewis.
And if I were Wes Welker, I would be unleashing a fury on Ray Lewis. Don't call my wife a fool.
Right.
Don't say she's foolish. She did nothing foolish other than go to Facebook. You have, and I'm guessing, Wes Welker, told her that wasn't the right thing to do and she apologized. It ends. Don't be quoting the Bible and say she was a fool.
Right.
And did something. No, nothing she said was foolish. She said the truth. Going to Facebook was foolish. She should not have done that. But now it's personal. I would be airing all Ray Lewis. It's not an incident that happened in 2000. A man died and your suit that was bloody just happened to disappear. And you pled to obstruction of justice. You know why people plead? So they don't get the bigger charge that the DA is going to slap them with and send them to jail. That's why they plead.
Of course.
So don't talk about my wife ever again, you pompous a-hole. And just because you preach doesn't make you a preacher, doesn't make you religious or a good person.
Trey Lewis, that's his new name.
No, I mean, to me, you wouldn't be mad if that was your wife that he was talking about, calling her a fool.
Oh, absolutely.
And foolish.
Yeah.
I mean, Wes, unless Wes is legitimately scared of him, then I think he should fire back.
Legit possibility.
And I know it's not the Patriot way, but I'm sorry. This isn't about the Patriots. This is about a man insulting my wife. And this goes beyond football. This is family. You know, they tell them they're allowed to have family, religion, and football in some order. Well, family comes first. And she's my wife. And I'm going to defend her against this DB, who everybody in the world, for some reason, is in love with. I don't get it. I don't understand how he's become this media darling and is allowed to go from football right into the media. You know, he has baggage. As she so accurately pointed out on Facebook, a lot of baggage, family baggage, legal baggage. There's issues there.
When it comes to that baggage, what's unresolved about that issue? I mean,
no, nothing's except the murder. I don't believe anyone was ever actually charged with murder.
No, one went to jail.
No, because he obstructed justice.
No, I know, but
no one.
But I thought he gave up the people.
I believe they had. There's a couple guys that were charged. No one was charged with murder. No one went to jail for murder.
Really?
That is still an unsolved murder.
That's right.
Okay.
That's what happens when people obstruct justice.
Okay.
Murder, you know, they cover things up. Usually when they have something to hide.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Right. And it's just funny
how
that is.
But I thought he had given up, two people.
Yeah, I think he did on something, but no one was charged with murder. He didn't. I don't believe he gave up anybody on murder. I don't believe it was ever charged.
Then how did they let it just go like that?
Because he's Ray Lewis. That's why no one should dig, because if you dig, you're going to find skeletons and cover-ups and payoffs and ugliness.
But was he Ray Lewis at the time? I mean, was he, you know, that big a guy where they wouldn't want to dig into him?
It was the year before he led the team on the greatest defense to the first Super Bowl win for a team without a quarterback.
Yeah.
Yes, he was Ray Lewis.
Okay.
If you ask Bill Belichick, he was Ray Lewis in 1994 when he was planning to draft him 2 years early with the Browns.
He was Ray Lewis in 96 when he drafted him, even though he wasn't there.
And by the way, okay, even if we want to move past the other stuff, you know, the man came back from a major injury this year. He has played 17 seasons at a level that is borderline unfathomable. And the last guy who did that, played nearly 20 years at a level borderline unfathomable, put a bullet in himself because of head injuries, potential steroid use, any other issues. And this guy just has new charges from this deer antler extract thing. There's a whole expose in Sports Illustrated this week that Ray Lewis was a big believer on, and there's taped phone conversations of him talking to the guy and the guy telling him, spray this on your arm every 3 hours. And this is a company that already got in trouble for having steroids and stuff mixed into their supplements. So there's a lot of shadows behind Ray Lewis, and yet he's treated like he's this perfect, you know, Tim Tebow, God helps everybody, great guy. And he isn't, and that's fine. That wouldn't bother me. But if I'm Wes Welker and this guy, with all these skeletons in his closet, starts taking pot shots at my wife, it's on. Sorry, okay. It's on. You're going down.
All right.
Just don't kill me.
It's a good rant.
Yeah.
It's a good rant. Right,
well, it doesn't bother, I mean, if this was your wife,
that's nothing
compared
to... But
it doesn't bother me that it bothers you.
If some a-hole called your wife foolish and said she made a fool of herself like the Bible says she... I'm sorry, it's on.
Boy, that makes my car tire rant really...
Just for...
I am fully in support of Andy's rant. It just doesn't bother me as much as rant. But I love the rant.
Poor Beth.
I want another rant. My wife wouldn't
for
do
For clarification's sake...
She wouldn't.
She's not a fool.
Lewis was given a plea agreement for his testimony against his two friends who were also indicted. They were subsequently acquitted of their charges.
So he didn't even do a good job testifying against him.
Okay, so they were brought up.
Charges were brought, yes.
So he testified against them.
His testimony was given in exchange for the plea that he just had.
So he clearly didn't do a good job.
Of justice.
Right? Or they didn't do a good enough job getting evidence.
Well, eyewitness account of them killing somebody would be a pretty good evidence.
I don't know what Lewis's test. It could have been like, I didn't actually see it happen.
Oh, funny how that works, huh?
You know. But the authorities obviously didn't get enough evidence, or else these guys would be in jail for murder.
Right. And he was part of the evidence.
Yeah.
So he didn't do a good job. They covered it up.
But I think everybody at that scene covered it up, right?
Yes.
Because there were a lot of people at that scene.
And he was the head honcho of the scene.
Yeah.
It was his limo and his posse and his peeps.
Yeah.
Right?
He did a remarkable job after that,
having children.
Yeah, well, yeah. But, you know, really falling into the whole God thing and, you know, I think...
I'm just tired of
that.
What
is his answer, though, when people ask him about, or what has his answer been when people ask it? Is it such a good answer that people don't bother asking it anymore?
I don't know the last
time. Asked him that recently.
They eat out of his hand, so I'm not sure the last time someone asked.
My guess is that it's not asked anymore, but I'm tired of the whole act.
I don't know. That's a good question.
Because, you know, it might be... You know, the fact that, all right, well, he's got this answer and there's really nowhere else to go with it. And that's why people don't ask him about it anymore. You know,
well, I'm not even really into the asking. I think if anybody really wanted to investigate it, if they got a bee in their bonnet and investigated Ray Lewis on a number of levels, they could tear him down like Barry Bonds, like anybody else they've torn down.
And why not? Why don't they? Why Barry Bonds and
loved.
Not him? Why Roger
not an
Clemens
I don't
and
know.
Not him? You know,
I don't know.
Because he's nice to everybody, and Barry Bonds was a jerk, and the FBI went through his trash, and that's
so
how they found it.
You think it's because he is nice to people?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
I think that's part of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think anything is that simple, but
and
I think
don't get
that's
me wrong.
Part of it.
He does good stuff, charitably, and, mm-hmm. and you know, the guy in the wheelchair,
that. I do think
but
that
he's a showman. He's a showman
that he
in
was
good,
a bad person.
In religion and everything.
I think he was a bad person who has... sort of been some sort of a redemption story. I think this.
You think he has changed.
I think there's legitimacy to that.
I do too.
I'm just tired. Yeah, no, I know.
I don't think
he's
murdered anybody.
So you don't think all this talk is just covering up?
I'm just tired
of
him.
Behavior.
I'm tired of the preaching. That's
no,
really.
No, because we hear a lot of people preaching that end up doing
I
bad
know,
things.
I know. I
wouldn't be surprised if he was banging some woman on the side or any of that.
Perfect. He's a flawed human being, just like everybody
else. I think he's a fraud in terms of a perfect Bible-fearing,
but
toting.
Do you think he goes to that extreme because of what happened in 1999? 98,
Well, I think part of it is he's realized he's good at it and it works for him. Like, people like it. It gets a notoriety.
No, I mean, do you think he started doing that because he felt guilty about what happened?
Or, well, I don't know. I don't know if it's guilt, but aren't they all driven? A lot of people are driven to the Bible and to God and to religion.
But there are a lot of
adversity
people that go to
jail.
People go to prison
a lot of
and
people
find
legitimately
God.
Seek redemption.
Yeah. Right. And why isn't Mike Tyson redeemed?
I don't know.
No one loves Mike Tyson. No one's putting Mike Tyson on the air.
But do you think
he's in a lot better situation now than he was. I mean,
Mike Tyson, but he found religion in prison Allah and somebody else.
Do you feel like that he, listen, I'm tired of like the preaching thing.
He's in the Hangover movies.
Yeah, but I think he.
Yeah, but kind of as like himself.
A spoof of himself, yeah. But he's still. I mean, that's.
I mean, he's Ray Lewis is put up on a pedestal as like this the greatest leader that's ever lived, a guy who's worthy of going straight to ESPN, you know, and you know being on the and he's not the only one. I mean. Plenty of guys with questionable backgrounds end up on TV. I mean, Michael Irvin.
Well, you know, high school coaches use him as an example and bring him out before a game to give inspirational talks as a leader.
And
as
he's
an
good
example.
At it. Don't get me wrong. As Paul
as a role
likes
model.
To point out, he's good at the speaking, the motivation.
Yeah, oh, sure.
But that doesn't. I mean, there were plenty of snake oil salesmen and preachers in history that were good at that. Who
yeah,
were
and that's
frauds.
Why I said he's not. I mean, there's nobody is as perfect as the media makes him out to be. There's no one that could live up to that. That's the part of it that is tiresome. And look, there's a lot of other guys that are, you know, possibly playing their last games on Sunday too. And no one's really going through this dog and pony show the way Ray Lewis is.
Right.
You know, this very well could be Randy Moss's last game. We started the show talking about Moss. Well, hey. A lot of his teammates are really saying that they want to get that ring for him so he can go out the right way.
How about Tony Gonzalez?
Tony Gonzalez crying.
You can argue is just as good or better at his position than Ray Lewis. I would argue better. I would argue Tony Gonzalez is the best tight end that's ever played the game.
Oh, he absolutely is.
So he's better than Ray Lewis because I don't think you can say definitively Ray Lewis is the best linebacker that ever played the game.
Even Jermaine Wiggins said that Tony Gonzalez was better than him.
And Tony Gonzalez is arguably a better person.
Wow.
So I don't see all this Tony Gonzalez love fest and all this.
Right.
What's the deal?
It's a combination of the media adoration and the guy on the other end seeking
Fuel. Ray Lewis has created the spectacle.
Right.
Let's say whether it's the pregame dance or all the preaching and the postgame interviews, he has created the spectacle, whereas Tony Gonzalez just goes about his job.
But the
so
media
he doesn't get the attention.
But everybody eats up the spectacle
and
plays their role.
The media is such – they're so – it's so ridiculous.
But why is no one beating down the bushes, as you said, like –
I don't
this
know.
Is a time when Ray Lewis is on the greatest stage. And if he's a redemption story, I mean, we had Dante Stallworth in here, correct? On our radio show.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We had to ask the questions. We got into it. I thought he did a very good job handling it with his situation. Yeah, that's what you call these things, situations. That's what Ray Lewis calls it, in Miami, right? But we asked him, shouldn't Ray Lewis still be asked? And it's an opportunity for him to talk about redemption.
But that was my earlier question is maybe – I don't know, but maybe this has been asked so often in the past that the answers are out there, and there's nothing else left to ask.
No, I know, but to me, Dante Stallworth's was in the past.
Yeah, but not 12
not as
years
far.
That was like 2 years ago. You know?
But I also think if Dante Stallworth went to the Super Bowl, it might percolate back up.
Oh, yeah.
If he was a key playmaker. Ray Lewis hasn't.
Yeah.
The only person who percolated it was Wes Welker's wife, and she's being called foolish
fool. I don't think if Dante Stallworth goes to the Super Bowl in 12 years, it's going to perk back up if he
goes
to the
Super
Bowl.
Oh, I think it would.
I think
generally every story that's had to be
during Super Bowl week
I don't think that old. I think at this point everybody has sort of asked him about it that wants to ask him about it. Now,
well, maybe somebody from the Baltimore area can, you know, call or email us and tell us, you know, how often was this asked in the past and was the answer satisfactory to the point where now it just doesn't get asked anymore.
I mean, it was much of an issue that the NFL wouldn't put him on the the record and fact book. He was the Super Bowl MVP, and you know that was always the guy that was on the cover.
Yeah, but that was the year of the murder?
Yeah, it was the next year.
Right.
Right. 12 years later, I don't think they have any problem putting Ray Lewis on things. This is my point.
No, I know, but they couldn't put him on that year because I think there was like still...
Well, Disney didn't allow him to go.
But that
was the year of the murder.
Right.
Nothing I think they would have done the same thing to Dante Stallworth, but in 12 years, they wouldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I just think
they're all in on Ray Lewis.
Time heals those wounds.
Part of it's ESPN. I mean, he's already technically an employee of ESPN, and they are the worldwide leader of media coverage for sports.
Well, it's an interesting topic because I think a legitimate topic, especially for us because we're not down there. And again, maybe if we were down there, we would know more of these answers.
So. And I'm not even saying, like, you know, the guy from Nickelodeon. I'm talking about, isn't this like a 60 Minutes story? Or, you know, Rachel Nichols has gone to CNN to do these, you know, newsy, featurey. Shouldn't someone do one of those?
One of those Dateline mystery segments.
I mean, we have four people who make their living in the NFL who don't really know the whole story, right? So to me, that means there's a spot for it in media. There are enough people out there that don't know the whole story.
Especially after all this time that's passed.
I look at it as a retrospective. I look at it as it's my fault that I don't know the whole story. I haven't read about it. I don't really care about it.
I
look at it as my fault. I'm sure that the 60 Minutes piece.
I think it's a story.
I'm sure of that.
No one knows it because it's covered up. But
But I think Andy's got a point.
No,
where,
but I'm
where
saying the Dateline story that we're all talking about, those stories have been done.
No, but I think
but
Andy's,
aren't they always redone when
but
the
I
guys...
But I think Andy's point is there's probably enough of a new generation of fans that maybe have heard about it but aren't really totally familiar with it that it's worth
sure.
a retrospective.
Plus, he's in the Super Bowl.
Especially now that he's in the spotlight
sure.
again.
Listen, and, I'm not going to criticize anybody for doing it.
You know, it's like running
but
for president.
I'm also not going to criticize you for not doing
your history.
It. I think it's
you know has
not.
Been talked about in the past, but when you run for president, it's all rehashed.
It all comes
back up.
Sure
sometimes
does.
To your detriment.
Sure.
You know, an answer that was acceptable as a governor or a senator,
absolutely.
Isn't really kosher as the presidential candidate,
yeah,
and it costs you.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, I disagree, but that's okay.
All right, Web Rate.
I think it's when you're dealing with a governor, that story is covered locally. When you're dealing with a president. Now that story needs to be covered nationally. This story has been covered nationally.
Yeah, maybe. I guess. I mean, I just think that's how the Super Bowl works. When you're back in the Super Bowl, things become big stories again. Players, people.
Yeah, I mean,
I
think we get made fun of a lot for being lazy. I think that's the height of laziness, falling back on a story that's 12 years old.
No, then I definitely want somebody to tell me where I can see or read the definitive Ray Lewis.
Like I said,
everything that
I
went on that night,
my fault.
What his part in it was, you know, how he's learned from it, how
right.
he's changed.
Right.
I'd like to read that.
Yeah.
And maybe I will look at him a little differently. I don't know.
Oh, I don't look
it's
at
that. It's got to be out there.
I don't look at that situation. This is why I said I'm on board with Andy's rant. I don't look at it differently. I think that he obstructed justice. Andy and I got in trouble for being flippant once with some of the people in the locker room. Richard
right.
Seymour got mad at us one day. I'm fully on board with Andy's entire premise here. I don't want to make it sound like
I have two premises here. First, anybody who called my wife a fool and foolish, I'd be mad at. She took it down. She apologized. She was the bigger man. You're being an a-hole. A total a-hole with the stage to be a global
and,
a-hole.
And Wes Welker's wife did nothing but speak facts. It's not, it wasn't like open to interpretation. It was,
and he called her a fool.
The children with women, with multiple women in the obstruction of that's all fact. That's not like, you don't know
what
you don't know.
What if she did do something that you considered foolish? Or
she went to Facebook.
Worthy of a fool? No, I'm saying.
That's what he said.
I also think it's totally inappropriate for a player to be calling another player's wife a fool or foolish.
If you're going to accept an apology,
okay, that's,
you don't throw gas on the
you've
fire.
You've ignited it.
You put out the flame.
Mm.
You don't.
And he did not. He did not.
Yeah.
He may think he did by citing the Bible and that makes everything okay, but you called her a fool. I didn't call her a fool. The Bible called. No, you called her
Andy
a fool.
Andy called her a fool for going to Facebook.
Yes, I think that was foolish.
For using
I
Facebook.
Would have been mad.
So now Wes is mad.
This
at
is
Andy.
One of those things where I would have been mad at my wife.
You call my wife a fool
with the initial
and things
thing.
Like that.
Right. Now I'm mad at you for being an a-hole, and I'm defending my wife to the end. She didn't say anything wrong. I'm going on my Facebook
page. I thought
page
he was ready to wind
it's
down
true.
Right there.
Right. Now, I just there are certain things that it's family. It's off limits. And she did the right thing. She was the good person. She apologized, even though really she had nothing to apologize for, and it should have ended. I appreciate that, Ray Lewis. I appreciate that.
So you would
I know
still,
we all get emotional as sports fans,
right.
And she made, an error in judgment. Boom, done.
So you would still be mad at him if, let's say she did something that you really, really did consider foolish, and you said to your wife.
Well, he thought it was foolish.
No,
I thought it was foolish.
But if you said to your wife, you're a fool. You never should have done that. That's absurd. That's foolish.
I can do that. He can't.
That's what I'm saying. You would be okay.
It's kind of my disappointment thing. My mother and my wife can be disappointed in me. Everybody else is an a-hole. Mind your own damn business. You're not worthy of being disappointed.
I've always been with Andy on that one. Don't tell me that you're disappointed in me.
And don't call my wife a fool, you fool.
All right, webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-9898 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. I'm rooting for the Niners, too.
Oh, did you see Kwame
I'm rooting for Dean Pease.
Rooting for Dean Pease.
Yes.
So he alone will win his own Super Bowl.
Good man. Well,
he's on Baltimore.
Sorry,
he's
Dean.
For Baltimore.
Yeah.
So you're rooting for Baltimore.
I would root for Dean Pease, but
I'm rooting for Dean Pease to have something good happen to him.
The Ray hole.
I like
I can't
Dean
root
Pease.
For him. The Ray hole.
Ray hole. That's good. I mean, the Ravens have to win in order for that to happen, but I like Dean Pease. What can I say?
Yeah. I wish they could both Harbaughs could lose. And
I'm rooting for the Ravens.
You're rooting for the Ravens?
I think the Niners are going to win because I think
I also do think
the
Ravens
are
going to win.
Team.
Now, there used to be the school of thought that you want the team that beat you to win because then you lost to the champion.
See, I think there's more of a school of thought that it goes the opposite way. Like, you hate the Ravens because they beat you, and I hope they get killed in this.
Well, either way, the Patriots will have that happen.
Well, yeah, we lost to both teams, so that's true. Yeah.
I think the Niners will win the game. We'll get into that on Thursday. We'll
I like the Ravens in this game.
I think the Niners are better, but I'm rooting for the Ravens.
I think the Ravens will win.
Yeah, well, I'm out of the prediction business. Cause all right.
But did you want to touch on Kwame Harris?
What about him?
Gay?
Oh, this guy?
This guy?
Who cares?
No, I don't care. I think it's an interesting story. I think it's interesting.
He assaulted his
boyfriend. Ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, ex-boyfriend.
They beat each other up, basically.
It's like that Playmakers show. You remember that on ESPN?
Yeah. Yeah.
There was that storyline about the gay player.
They had to take that off the air because it wasn't portraying the players in an accurate way.
The more you have of these,
the
better it is.
The NFL put the kibosh on that.
Because pretty soon, the more that get outed...
Oh, I think
then people will just be comfortable being out.
In that respect, I think it's in a way
because it's not
thing.
A big deal.
I don't
you
think
hear
anyone
all
getting beaten up is a good thing.
That's a separate.
I think
he's a man.
That's
Who's
a separate
Harris
issue.
For?
The Raiders and Niners. He was a first round pick with the Niners. Played at the end with the Ravens. Went to Stanford. I never understand how that works. Yeah. People just stay in the Bay.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Forget it. Now I know how it works.
Well, by the way, I just saw.
Forget it. Explained itself.
I just saw on TV Schefter reporting that the Rams will not hire Rob Ryan.
But it said
defensive coordinator. Does that mean they're not hiring as that position?
They're not hiring.
I don't think they're hiring him, period.
Yeah, yeah. Jeff Fisher said it's not a good scheme fit.
Yeah. And then Schefter...
I retweeted Morton said, it's been 5 minutes, Rob.
Well, no, Schefter tweeted out that he said 5 minutes. It's been 30,400 minutes and counting.
I think he's gone insane, Rob Ryan. I think he's just... Who wants to put up with that nonsense? Really?
Well, that's an argument.
Yeah.
An argument.
Because when he was here, he was not like that. He was not like that, as far as we knew.
He was quiet.
Yeah.
That happens.
He didn't have an outrageous personality.
I think he's out for...
He had outrageous hair.
He's doing a Ray Lewis. He's out for the spotlight. He's trying to make a scene.
No, I think his personality was probably squashed by this environment and by his role.
Possibly.
Which, by the way, despite the attempts by local media to poo-poo him as this coaching assistant when he was here, he was a coach. He was a position coach.
Yeah,
a linebacker's coach.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Glenn Ordway continues to call him low-level coaching assistant.
He was a quality control coach, they called him.
Why don't you try knowing what the hell you're talking about?
Yeah, he coached
That's
the
embarrassing.
Right.
He coached.
When he left, he had to be replaced.
And my guess is, right? Now, there's two things here. Ordway's an idiot and doesn't know it. Or he's being used and being, you know, asked to kind of diminish what Rob Ryan was when he was here or something. Either way,
that's
despicable.
Andy. Yeah, there was a time when I think Pepper sort of ascended, and they had Pepper working with inside linebackers, and Ryan worked with outside linebackers. Yeah. So if you wanted to sort of get technical there and say, man, he wasn't even good enough to be a position coach. But I think that was more because Pepper sort of came from that coaching assistant program, and they liked him enough that they gave him more responsibility. But it wasn't at the expense of Ryan. I think that Ryan was fine here.
Yeah. Well, I do think that his parting wasn't – I got the sense that it wasn't 100% amicable. That there was something going on there, that something happened at the end.
And so he wouldn't be
welcome
back.
It might have been a money thing.
So he wouldn't be welcome back here is what you
maybe
think?
Time heals, you know, things.
Yeah, I don't think he's welcome back here.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
I agree with Andy.
Yeah.
Is it too uncomfortable
with Dick Geron, that's my other rant. I want Dick Geron.
You mentioned, why do we want Dick Geron to be a defensive coach for
the
Patriots?
He wants Dick.
I want Dick.
So was on
Dick in 2013. It was one of those things where he got fired by the Browns. He was their defensive coordinator, you know, regime change, whatever. And the first thing I thought of is I remember how much Bill used to praise him when he was the head coach in Buffalo
yeah.
But also we've crossed paths various times.
Chicago.
With him as defensive right. Oh, yeah, Chicago.
Chicago, too.
Crossed paths with him as defensive coordinator. And Bill always very – and Bill coached him in Detroit. He's from Swampscott.
Mm-hmm.
He's a DB's coach.
Massachusetts
played DB.
Town. Yep.
I just think he's the perfect fit to bring in. And then we finally can, you know, everybody says, is it the talent? Is it the coaching? Is Boyer over his head? Is Flores over his? Well, if you bring this guy in, I think he could, A, be good for you, and B, he brings credibility to the back end as a 30-year
DB. As a position coach,
DB.
Though, or as the
assistant
DC?
Head coach. No, not as DC. Assistant head coach defense and focus on DBs. Or titles are fine. Nothing wrong with them.
But you, well,
I might even put a C on the shoulder.
So you think he would be performing as
I don't
a
think
DC?
He'd be the coordinator. I think he'd be, you know,
like when Capers,
now, he may
like
get
when
a job
Capers was here.
With more money and a better title elsewhere. I'm just saying I would look into bringing him here.
Like Capers when he came here for that year.
Yeah, a little more so. I'm looking for him to actually be a job and not a holdover in case I get suspended. I'm looking for a guy that...
You want him out there on the field teaching.
I want him teaching and coaching and helping me fix the secondary, the safeties, the corners, the whole thing.
Okay,
and I think he would be a great
makes
fit.
Sense. Mm. He's out there, he's available, you know. And
now he
like
may get
said,
a coordinator
he's from this area.
He may get, you know, the Rams.
Where was he last year?
Cleveland.
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 All right, quickly, let's do one phone call. Chris with a T-I-N. Hey, Christian.
30 seconds, go. 29.
Christian.
28.
Hey, guys. What's up?
How you doing? 26.
Okay, quick question. Last week you guys touched upon the Revis trade rumors.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I think from what I remember hearing, that you guys pretty much agreed with exploring the option to trade him because you didn't think that ultimately that the Jets were going to pay his price, so you might as well get what you can from him now.
I guess you look at it.
There was no consensus.
Yeah,
I believe Paul wants to keep him, and we want to trade him.
Keep him. I think Eric and Andy would trade
but
him.
But I guess if you really don't think you're going to pay him, then you look him at a Seymour situation where you got 1 year left, you might as well get something
get a first-round pick.
And I think that would be the exhibit that I would use as the Jets as to not trade him.
Well, see, the difference, I would think, is the Jets have no shot in hell of winning, in my opinion, and the Patriots had a shot in hell of winning. It depends on what you think you are as a franchise. If I could win the Super Bowl this year, I wouldn't trade him in a second.
But
I'm strapped with a Jag quarterback. I have no shot at winning the Super Bowl.
True.
So how does that work with an injury, though? Like, can the other team that wants him work him out, even though he's under contract, how does that work?
I think every trade is subject to a physical.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But the trade gets consummated, then there's a physical, and then
there's
paperwork exchange as to whether or not the trade goes through.
Yeah, you can figure it out.
Yeah, that's one of those. You know there's an injury.
No, and there's going to be some leap of faith. He is not going to be 100% when you trade for him, whether that's April, May, June, July, or August. He won't be 100%.
Does the cutting necessary for cornerback, does that differ than a running back, let's say? I mean,
there's more of it. There's more reactionary cut. There's more lateral movement.
Backpedaling.
Right.
Far more lateral movement.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, it's a bigger deal.
Okay.
So,
All right.
Well done, Christian. Oh, minute 42. You let him go way more than 30 seconds.
That's okay.
So, I wanted to know about those boobs.
Oh, shoot. Yeah. Did you see those photos on the Facebook page?
Yeah. Call back Christian.
Christian with
guys dropping
this ex-girlfriend with massive flotation devices strapped to her chest.
ex-girlfriend slash.
Yeah. She was a pro, if you know what I'm saying.
Speaking of that, we got a package in the mail yesterday Travis, Jennifer, Mary, Hannah, and Sarah from Collierville, Tennessee. And Travis and his kids made cookies for us.
Yes.
That's what you want to
call them. Were very interesting cookies.
Very good.
The shapes of them were a little questionable.
What do you call that when they pack it that way?
Hermetically sealed.
Not hermetically. But
food saver.
Yeah, food saver package.
Jesus, it just became like.
So a clear package. So all
those vacuum.
Vacuum sealed.
Yeah, vacuum sealed.
Vacuum sealed package. So all the cookies, you could see the cookies, and they were in the shape of male genitalia.
And Fred was giddy.
And each cookie had a name. One was named Favre. The other was named Spikes. The other name was Odom.
Oh, Odin.
Travis, you misspelled a word on mine, though. You gals is spelled with a G, not a P.
But they were really good cookies.
They were very good.
Yeah, they were unique because they were a flourless recipe from Paula Deen. So they had a little different texture, but the flavor was phenomenal.
What were your cookies, Andy?
Breasts, because I'm passionate about breasts, unlike you two.
So yours were
unlike you two, Kwame Harris's.
Yours were of the male.
That's why
ilk.
They hate you.
Yeah. Travis clearly messed up on that. And also, what is he trying to teach his young daughter here? These shapes.
Hopefully they weren't there when the forming of the cookies.
He sent a photo of the two of them making
the
cookies.
I know, but at that point, it was just the dough ball.
And they weren't really, I mean, if you knew you were looking for that, you saw what it was supposed to be.
Yeah,
but I'm not sure the little girl would be like, oh, it's a penis.
I'm sure the little girl said, Dad, what are you making there? Because the shape was unorthodox.
Say a rocket ship.
Yeah, a rocket ship.
Okay. And Paul, what was your cookies?
Mine were diet.
Your diet cookies.
You didn't know that? Mine were diet cookies.
Oh, okay.
Yes, they were excellent.
Excellent. So he says, PFW boys, these cookies were made with love by Mary Hannah and made perverted by her daddy. You enjoy and they work at comforting you after a terrible loss. It may seem like there are more cookies in some bags than others, so please share where needed.
We did.
The cookies are from Paula Deen's Christmas with Paula Deen recipe book, and the recipe was halved to give you an idea as to how many cookies that makes minus three cookies.
That means they ate three.
That means they had some, right.
Yeah,
well, it was a ridiculous recipe. It called for like entire tubs of peanut butter and there was
Paula
all kinds
Deen,
of stuff.
That's why she's got diabetes.
Right.
Yeah. Oh. Right?
Well, it is.
Because of her recipes. Everything is like 3 pounds of butter.
But not anymore. She's gone the other way now.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Now she's seen the light.
We had the healthy one.
She's seen the light. He's right.
Paul writes in, he said there was this article in the New York Post 2 days ago detailing the Ray Lewis situation. Thanks for the great podcast. Kevin, maybe when you get a chance, you can print that out.
I'm on.
And
I'm on, then.
It's called The Tarnish on the Ray Halo. So maybe we can...
Oh, so it's just a rehashing of all the...
Yeah.
Okay.
So he doesn't...
Maybe we can get into that a little later.
Yeah, all right, I'm done getting into it, because my major issue...
Did you see his sit-down with Sal the other day?
I did not.
My major issue is just with him calling someone's wife a fool. I think that's...
That's a
totally
great
inappropriate.
You got to give him the nod.
I'd call your wife a fool, but which one's your wife? Which one of the mothers of your kids should I call a fool?
See, a fool speaks and he don't know. What does he say?
The good book says, even a fool is considered a wise man until they open he or she mouth.
He or she.
And does the good book really say that? Is that really the good book?
There's a quote in there.
Because I've always heard that.
It doesn't say
better the world to think you a fool than to open your mouth and prove it or whatever.
Right.
Man. What's the good book, Patriots?
I thought Mark Twain said that, but
yeah, that's what I'm asking. Is he even a fraud in that? And that he's confusing like just common phrases with the Bible?
Oh yeah, I mean that would be a great scandal if like all of the scripture that he quotes and stuff, and it's not even actually from the Bible,
just gibberish.
But I think somebody, like, hey, Travis from Collierville calling,
just makes it up.
He's the guy who gave us the cookies, Fred. He gets more than 30 seconds.
Hey, Travis, how you doing? What did I
hey,
do?
Travis.
Hey, Travis, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for the cookies.
Thank you, Travis.
Tremendous.
You're welcome. Well, my wife wanted me to clarify that my daughter was on the couch watching a TV show when I was making everyone else's cookies.
Desire.
But she did happen to see him when I was packing them, and she's like, oh, look, Daddy made snowman. And I'm like,
good. Now, what did your wife think about this, though? That she's like, why are you doing this?
Oh, she thinks it's hilarious.
Okay.
She loves you guys.
All right, cool.
See, she listened to the show,
Fred,
too?
People get us enough.
Oh. Okay. I just know if I was in the – first of all, if I was in the kitchen, my wife would be shocked. But if I was making penis cookies, my wife would be like, what are you doing there?
Should I be concerned?
But thank you for the
cookies. They were good. They were very good. Yeah. My wife actually made them into ice cream sandwiches last night that were phenomenal as well.
Ah, very nice.
What's the nutritional value on these, though? I was because they have M&M's, chocolate chips, peanut butter,
right,
oatmeal. There's got to be a...
But no flour.
But no flour.
Try mine. Mine a diet.
Yeah,
try mine.
It's collodine, so your artery's going to get clogged either way.
Yeah, you know we don't mind that around here.
These aren't from the healthy recipe book?
Oh, no.
I believe...
There is no healthy book for Paula Deen.
I think there is now. Yeah, I think she's turned a page.
So to speak.
Her whole family lost weight because they did something. I don't know. You know, she's found
she learned nutrition.
But it's no fun anymore.
National level. Right.
But I do think Andre Tippett actually partake in...
Oh, yeah, he did.
Have one?
Yeah. He did, yes.
He tried to have mine, and I said, well, Eric's are open around the corner.
Yeah.
Don't touch mine. All right. Well, thank you, Travis. We appreciate it very much. And your daughter is absolutely beautiful.
Oh, so thank you very much. You're welcome, guys.
Okay.
When did Andy Hart turn into a human being?
Travis from Collierville, Tennessee. That's we love our listeners.
And not in a Hart's Hotties kind of way.
No, that was just like a perfectly appropriate.
That would be Christian's ex-girlfriend is in a Hart's Hotties.
Hart's Hottie.
Kind of way.
So let's get to some emails.
Emails.
Kiwi in London writes in, great work over the past week. It's always tough when your team is booted from the playoffs in a home AFC championship game. You guys have done well in talking me off the cliff. Just a quick question, a response to Paul's comments that no one would pray to God to win a football game that was made a week or so ago. I've been reading Next Man Up by John Feinstein, the story of the 2004 Ravens, and it seems that praying to win football games is exactly what Ray Lewis likes to do. In a quote from the book, Lewis and others had decided praying as a team with no coaches in the room was something they needed to do to feel closer. Most of the players were fine with the idea. A few felt uncomfortable with it because they felt there was peer pressure to take part. I can't not do it, said one player, because I'm afraid some of the guys will be offended, but I'm uncomfortable with asking God for help in winning a football game. Shouldn't the NFL constitute this as cheating? As if God is on the Ravens roster, wouldn't this put them over the 53-man roster?
And how much does God make? That's got to put you over the cap.
I'm calling it hashtag Godgate. Facetiousness aside, great work, guys. Looking forward to your analysis over the next 8 to 9 months and all the developments that helped create the Patriots 2013 team. And P.S., can you have Eric please make a post on Patriots.com of the 2013 schedule?
Yeah, as soon as it comes out, as it always does in early to mid-April.
It's just taken on a nice life of its own.
Absolutely.
Bill Berry writes in, Fred and Three Stooges, I agree with Paul.
I'm one of the Stooges.
The problem is Brady. He has not had a viable alternative since Bledsoe. He needs someone to push him. Signed, Tim Tebow. Paul, this was sarcasm. Seriously, though, Paul is right. Not what Andy says Paul said, what Paul actually said. The offense does not need more. You can upgrade Lloyd, but that is far from vital. Use high draft picks on defense. I'd love a cornerback, but I would not turn my nose up at pass rushing or something else.
Bill Berry bringing it.
Yeah, good email. Good email. Yeah. Coherent for once.
Oh,
yeah.
Paul, Hector Longo, and Casey Joyner all think that Brady stinks.
Did you guys?
Although Casey Joyner said he's going to stink in 4 years, he's going to fall off the cliff.
Did you guys see the?
You got fleas over there?
I forget.
You're scratching your.
I forget.
While Paul's trying to gather.
Perillo just.
Paul's trying to gather.
The William Berry email where he was talking about the helmets, you know, our rant about how the helmets don't fit. Did you get that email? No.
I'm sure I did, but I don't know if I read it.
Talking about you know, how loose the helmets are, and we've talked about this a lot.
Yeah.
How we think that's part of the problem. I think that might be part of the concussion issue, and the helmets don't fit. Bill, he was actually saying that. He thinks that. You know, there might be part of it being cool, you know, when your helmet pops off and all that stuff, and they think it's like a cool thing.
It's a way to get your face on without getting a penalty.
You know, and just kind of an interesting perspective on that.
I think they need to go to the college rule. You need to miss at least a play if your helmet comes off. Go. Just go.
Igor from Mannheim, Germany.
Speaking of
Steamroller?
Super Bowl.
Do they call him the Steamroller?
Great work as always. I must say, I feel half as bad after the loss, so the therapy must have worked. Thanks for that. Now on to football. I strongly disagree with people wanting another wide receiver who can stretch the field. Please don't invest more money in the offense, which collapses in the postseason.
Another? We'd have to have one for the next one to be another.
Right.
We don't have a wide receiver.
Well, another wide receiver, comma, who stretches the field. Oh.
Well, they haven't had one of those, and maybe your offense wouldn't suck it in the big game if they had a guy who could beat coverage and stretch the field.
Right. Well, that's the thing. He says, you know, please don't invest more money in the offense, which collapses in the postseason.
Well, if it collapses, then you need investing, maybe.
Right. But
also, another thing that is...
I'm not going to finish his email. Go ahead.
We're talking about draft picks, and Bill Berry said the corner said whatever. So there's been this influx of, I've seen, defensive tackle. Young defensive tackle, a guy that can replace Will for... I don't get it.
For this team?
Yeah.
Well, I think
Have it like way the hell down here on my
list.
But
the type of tackle, doesn't it come back from this, you know, yearning to have that NASCAR defense where you can have these move into tackle and play
well,
that
then
position?
Well, I'm all for drafting defensive ends.
Are they
I'm
saying they want to replace Wilfork or have him play next to Wilfork?
A guy, I think it sounds like I've seen a few people that next to and then replace. And I'm thinking, well, from my perspective, no thank you. I said I wouldn't have signed Wilfork. I just don't think there's value there in that big guy in the middle. I'll take a few Kyle Loves and Armon. What's his name?
Armon Hammer.
Yep. And those guys. I think you need to be good at corner. You need to be good at pass rusher. You need to be good on the edges. I'm all set with big linebackers and big tackles. What has that gotten us?
Now, defense, and once more defense. This is the only thing I want to hear. You had terrific defense. You had Tom Brady. You had 3 Super Bowls in 4 years. Now you have record-setting offense in the regular season, which means absolutely nothing. Horrific defense, and you have 0 Super Bowls. I still remember being one catch away from winning a Super Bowl, but that's okay. I want to win 24
kicks away from losing 3.
I want to win 24-9 instead of 41-28. Who needs 34 point averages in the regular season? It's exciting and fun to watch, but more often than not, you watch other teams celebrating in confetti at the end of the season.
But you'd all take it if they were scoring points in the postseason. The problem is they stop scoring points in the postseason and they end up in the teens.
Right.
They're not losing games 41-38.
Right.
They're losing games 13, 17 points.
Right,
they're not scoring enough.
Don't spend money on wide receivers. Stop wasting money on average Jags on defense and make them stumble through the season and hope that Tom Terrific will make it for you. I think you have some young players you can develop. Throw some money at elite players on defense who can even enhance the development. How much better would a Mike Wallace make your offense? It will cost you $80 million to get him at least. Take this money and get Peppers. The next thing you know, Jones has 16 sacks, Ninkovich 5 strip sacks or more. Spikes is dancing because he's knocking running backs out left and right. You can't be serious by saying, let's rely on our 36-year-old quarterback even more by making him throw more. Stand longer in the pocket and wait for the deep threat to get open. I say, play hard, good defense, hand off to Ridley and Vereen more often than not, and throw to your all-pro tight end, the best that ever lived when needed. This way, Brady can play till he's 40, win a couple more Super Bowls. Before Paul says anything, I know it's simplistic, but in my head it makes perfect sense.
Just in full disclosure, I wasn't about to say anything.
That means he wasn't listening.
No, I was listening. I listen, it's something that I've gone back and forth on a little bit with the offense. And I listen, it's inarguable what Andy said. The offense has not approached anywhere near its regular season levels in playoff losses. But what I find interesting is I think that that's generally the case around the league. I think most good offenses score a little bit less in the postseason. But we seem to allow the same. We seem to allow 28. You know,
that's because our defense
defensively stinks. To teams that don't average 28, like the Jets and like the Ravens this year. So it's not just an offense problem.
No.
It's a defense problem too.
I think it's a playmaker problem. That's what I boil it down to.
See, that's why I'm not.
They don't have playmakers on offense when Rob Gronkowski is in the press box, and they don't have playmakers on defense. Really, I mean, I love Rob Ninkovich, but I just can't. He's a playmaker. I got to give him credit.
Well, that's
for the,
why I like his peppers thing that we've talked about the last couple of shows.
But to me, that's
but
the
they're
difference.
Not going to spend the money on Mike Wallace either. You know, they're
no,
just
and like, I'd like to have Mike Wallace, but not at $80 million, and that's why you won't have him because he thinks he's worth that.
Right.
I would take the guy, Mike Wallace, for, you know, a palatable contract, but it ain't happening. But to me, it all boils down to playmakers. I don't think they have playmakers right now on either side of the ball, and I think we've said this for 2 or 3 years. And, you know, last year they won with Gronkowski.
I don't know.
And then they lost with Gronkowski.
Wes Welker's a playmaker?
No,
I know he
doesn't
have the flash.
I don't.
I think every play he makes is a play.
And I like Wes as much as anyone. I'm not on the run Wes out of town bandwagon because he's dropped passes in the last two losses.
You're not necessarily looking at it the same way that we define it. Yeah, he makes plays to get first downs and stuff like that. And those are big plays. Much more valuable than, say, Brandon Lloyd, who I don't think makes even those plays. But what Andy's talking about, I think, is a guy that can stretch fear into the, you know, put fear into the defense and all of a sudden hit you for 50-yard touchdowns.
Well, in both directions.
Yeah. Oh, to defense,
a guy
offense,
on
yeah.
I think I boil it down to, and we always say, if both teams play their best, who wins? And a lot of times we say the Patriots. They're the better team. Well, I would boil down playmaker to, if both players play this play their best, who wins? And I think if you say that a lot for Patriots players, more often than not, you're saying the other guy.
Gronkowski wins.
Gronkowski gets
playmaker.
The nod. Mm. Vince Wilfork, maybe he gets the nod. But again, as a defensive tackle, I'm not sure that matters.
You know, the kind of plays, and we didn't get to see enough of it, and I agree with the consensus that Tlaib wasn't, you know, quote-unquote, the answer. Mm. He improved things, but that play that he made against Indianapolis in his very first game, that's a playmaker. That's a play. That's what we're talking about. And I'm not just saying because it was a touchdown. I'm saying
it was a touchdown.
Exactly. There's not
it wasn't
a lot
like there was
guys,
open greenery and he went
not a lot of guys
40 yards.
On the Patriots
he went across
that make
the field,
that kind of play.
Came back across
and
the
you
field.
Agree with us because I can recall the day last August or September when I asked you name the top five playmakers this season on the Patriots defense, and I believe you included Trevor Scott.
And we stumbled.
At safety.
Like, I'll give you another example.
Whatever he was. That just tells me that you agree there's not enough playmakers.
But I had somebody tell me yesterday, Freddie, and I'll see if you agree with this, that you know what something that the Patriots really need is a big, bruising running back. So on those third and twos, they can get first downs. And I turned around and I looked and I said, that's exactly what they don't need.
Right.
They don't need another plodding, unathletic player, period, no matter what position. They need a dynamic guy who can take a third and two handoff and go to the house with it instead of just moving
the chains.
And
Ridley is not that. We saw that a lot this year. He would break that 10, 12, 14, but he can't hit that last gear to turn 14 into 40, 50,
60. Now, maybe next year he will, but I don't think he is. That's the one. You know how like you sort
Vereen might.
You know how you made fun of me all year for sort of being sour on...
I can't believe he still laughs.
That was funny.
I've said the same thing for damn near 10 years, and he still laughs.
But that time it was funny. Usually you're not funny. About Ridley, I went into this season thinking Ridley was that kind of guy. When he gets the chances in those spread formations, he's going to pop one. He never popped one. Not even one.
Well, he kind of did, but when he popped it, it only went for 14 or 17.
That's what I'm saying. He never popped it for 70.
Right.
You know, Adrian Peterson.
So you think
I'm not
he was
saying
hurt?
He should be Adrian Peterson.
Why do you think he's going to do it in year three?
No, I'm
saying
maybe.
You're big on the year three jump?
Maybe he just gets a little bit more comfortable, a little more confidence. Maybe... It goes the other way. Maybe he got 1,200 yards because he never looked to pop it, and he took the 12, the 16, the 20, and now next year he's going to be a little bit more confident, and instead of settling for the 8, 12, he's going to be looking to cut something to make it a 70-yard run, and it's going to turn into a 4-yard run.
All of a sudden, he's Lawrence Maroney.
Right, because I think Lawrence Maroney, I think mentally he could not cut it. We know that. But physically, I think he would have had some long touchdown runs this year. With the same holes, the same opportunities. I think he was that kind of – he was always looking for the home run.
If I could
that
have,
was his problem.
If I could have put him in at the nine-yard mark where Ridley had gotten to right. 9 yards, that's, yes, I think he would have had 60-yard runs.
That's what I mean. That's
it's like
what
in
I mean.
Video games where you can change characters at, like, right. the last right. minute. If you right. could do that with Maroney,
I
agree
don't,
with
And
that.
I don't think Maroney is better than Ridley.
No.
That's not what I'm saying. Mentally, he was always looking for the home run, and you can't do that. And certainly he couldn't do it because he wasn't good enough to. He's not Barry Sanders. But I think Ridley, I'm not sure that he has the big play ability that I thought he did. But you might be right about
this
Vereen.
Could be
maybe,
a commentary for him.
Well, I maybe think, it's Vereen.
You know what I think? I really do think part of it is the fear of fumbling for Ridley. When he comes out of that and gets to that next level, he's almost got both arms on the ball.
That could be
and,
too.
And, mm-hmm. and
maybe that will lead
you
to
you. Look yeah. at the great maybe backs. They part of the ability to shift and make those cuts is having that ball a little bit away from their
and
body.
And what do they
sometimes.
Do? They fumble. That, yeah, Adrian Peterson is the fumbler until
fumble.
He was the ACLer who was the 2,000 yarder.
They will fumble.
His previous history was as the fumbler.
That's
you
right.
remember the discussions we had about can yeah. you really move forward that's with Adrian right. Peterson as like the core of your offense? He fumbles mm-hmm. too much. You can't rely postseason. Blah blah blah.
Right
now, everybody wants to be Adrian Peterson yeah. because he was a fumbler.
And,
now he's a great...
and I see Ridley so protecting the ball. Sometimes he's off balance because he's not using his arms to balance. He's using his arms to protect the ball.
He's also knocked out.
There's a payoff. Well, in that particular play, but there's a payoff there. And I think,
yes,
I think Paul's onto something. I think
balance.
Next year he could take another.
But can
step.
You do both?
No, I didn't. Well,
well I think he's going to realize there's a point where I can loosen up a little bit to get that cut. And
but
and,
there's a happy medium yeah. he needs to find.
Yeah, right.
There's a happy medium where it's an awareness. It's yep. you know not always the high and tight because I think sometimes the high and tight limits your ability to make a cut, your balance, your you know all that yep. holding it tight. There is a natural. I mean, when the guys walk across the tightrope, their arms are out. There's a certain balance and. Balancing everything out, the ball sometimes comes and out. But you need to only do it when
exactly.
you're in the open field or you know where everybody is.
You look at Hernandez, and we marvel at he always seems to make that first guy miss. But if that first guy hit him, he'd fumble even more because he's got that ball away from his body.
Oh, yeah.
And that allows him to make those cuts.
When he's
cuts.
In Dion mode.
Yeah.
You know. Running with a loaf of bread. I'm just happy when he catches it these
yeah,
days.
Yeah, and listen, I just think that I think it's not a bad gig being a running back for the Patriots. I think you have a lot of opportunities to make plays.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that maybe he's not the playmaker that
but
I thought he
was. But he's not
that
far.
No, that's why I said you know, maybe.
There's
maybe next year.
If there's a spectrum of like the hot porridge, the cold porridge, and the medium, he's the medium. He's more than Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, but he's not that next step who easily, in my opinion, this year could have been a 15, 16, 1,700 yard back if he could have capitalized because he had all the 15 yard runs.
Yeah.
He had the 17 yard runs. He didn't, I believe his longest run was like 28 yards or I don't believe
I don't even know off the top of my head.
I want to say like 28. He didn't have the home runs that you should have.
And I thought he would have four
in
or
this
five,
offense,
you know, 40 plus yard runs. Maybe not for touchdowns, but
right.
like, you know, at least 40 yards. I think to me, a 40-yard run, that's a big play.
With the spacing of this offense, you have opportunities to hit those.
Yeah. I mean, there's times that he runs 15 yards without touching anybody.
Right.
Well, a lot of those big plays, though, remember when Adrian Peterson breaks them, are when guys are bunched up.
Sure.
Not when they're spaced out because he gets past that next level and there's no one there.
But it also happens when guys are worried about the pass.
True.
I mean, yes, there's something to be said. If you're going to put 8 and 9 in the box, well, if I break through the box, there's nobody left.
Right.
There's certainly something to be said for
and
that.
And now I have the 7 guys that are covering, you're in sort of like, you know, man situations. They don't know even though I'm
right.
here. And now I'm in the open field. I'm a running back. I'm going to beat them. And
right.
he didn't.
I just have the vision. He did it a number of times where he basically went off right tackle, kind of got to the second level, bent it to the outside again, just to that point where you're kind of getting on the sideline, and he couldn't make that last turn down the sideline for the big play. That's what he's lacking. And he may never have it, or maybe you said he'll be a little less protective with the ball. That'll give him a little more athleticism and speed, and maybe he'll start breaking those.
Alvin writes in, what up? Everybody had to get over this loss, but did everyone enjoy Saturday Night Live skit of Ray Lewis? Did you guys see that?
Eric did.
I saw it.
Yeah,
it was funny.
It was very funny. Well, I know
very
today,
funny.
Media Day, it would be strange if someone asked funny. A question about something. He was originally charged
about
with two counts of murder,
like he speaks,
but he cut a deal with prosecutors in exchange for his testimony. But I've been hearing all of this.
Incoherent.
Anyway, my question is, are we going to get a top
cocaine.
Free agent, and how good is that player from the CFL? Okay.
So which one?
Do you think we'll go get a top free agent, and how good is Armin Hammer?
How do you know he didn't mean Jason Vega?
He could have meant Jason Vega.
Maybe.
I'm intrigued by Armstead. I think there's a possibility.
Certainly the word, intrigue.
You know,
yeah. Potential.
I think by most accounts, the Patriots had significant competition to sign this guy. By most accounts, they're dealing with maybe a third-round pick. I've seen as high as a comparison of a third-round pick. So I'll take it, and I'll see what, you know.
So he'll be inactive 15 of 17 games?
6'4", 300 pounds-ish. You know, USC, high level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see what he can do.
Yep.
What's a high-level free agent? I mean, that's kind of a vague.
Well, like when you look at the...
Do they have to spend $80 million on Mike
Wallace?
Yeah,
the top guy. They
will not sign the top guy at any position.
Yeah.
They never do.
Actually, they might. Aqib Talib. Because he's the top corner,
Well, they did once, and Dalius Thomas didn't work out, right?
Yeah, but that shouldn't scare you away from doing it again if you think you have a player.
At first, you don't succeed. Never try again.
No, but I think if they find the right guy, they'll go after him. You know.
But you're telling me since Dalius Thomas, there hasn't been that guy available?
I'm not.
Fred Kerr's defeatist.
How do we know that they haven't tried and just got outbid or whatever? You know, we don't know that.
You're right. We don't know that.
Which top free agent do you think? I'm just asking you to think. Do you think they've been outbid for?
Julius Peppers.
I have no idea. A lot of people thought he was on this team.
I wouldn't
characterize
that as being outbid when you offered him like 1 year, $10 million, and he signed for $100 million. I mean, get outbid.
I mean, if you try and you go 5 years, $55 million, and he signs for 7 years, $77 million, okay, you were outbid. But
didn't
Paul's
we
offered
him a 1 year deal, right?
I mean, I could have
1 year, $10 million.
What's that? All?
That was the report. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what we.
I mean, there was as much chance of him signing for that as you know. I thought there was more.
Me going to the Lexus dealer and saying, "I'll give you $200 right now. Take it off your hands."
Leave it. I didn't remember it being only 1 year. I thought it was a little bit more.
Listen,
than that.
You know how my memory gets. If it happened in
better than mine.
No, well,
if it happened in 1978, I would have it. But
the 1 year was the only one guaranteed or something.
No, I think it was a 1 year deal.
Now, like Greg Jennings, is he a top free agent?
Yeah, see,
well, it depends on who else is coming out for.
He's 30. Yeah. He's a couple years removed from his elite seasons, but he was injured last year. He comes from a passing offense. I think you could sell yourself on Greg Jennings as a top free agent. And if so, then I think there's a chance they could sign somebody like that. Laron Landry, is he one of the best safeties on the market? Because he was here last year and visited. He was mad because Bill wasn't, and I don't know if that's an issue long term.
And by the way, I would take Laron Landry. I've been very critical of him because I don't think he can stay on the field. But last year he stayed on the field and he played pretty well.
Funny how that works.
Yeah, well, I have no doubt. I have no doubt what he did. But he's always done that. He hasn't been able to stay on
the field. I've only been critical of him as he was supposed to be like this revolutionary player. He's not that.
No, but he's a solid
as
free
a physical
pickup,
safety with massive biceps that would compete with Harold Nash for the biggest on the team.
Solid
and I bring
free
him
agent
in.
Pickup in those terms. I would
unless his B is still in a bonnet because Bill wasn't here to meet him at the door or whatever the story was.
James in Brisbane writes in, I could use your help. Is it a bad thing that my girlfriend experiencing her first NFL season said in a way she was glad the Patriots didn't get to the Super Bowl because I take big losses like that really hard? Maybe I get a bit too intense, but at least I'm not Ray Lewis.
Ray Hole.
Quick question for you. Do you think Brady's poor postseasons are due in part to his advancing age? Maybe his body's getting worn down as the season goes on and he can't recover as quickly as he used to. Just a thought that maybe his career is beginning to take its toll on him when it matters most. Either way, he's still the guy I want as my QB. And as a final note, over the weekend, my state of Queensland got bitch slapped by some serious weather. Luckily, I'm okay and managed to get out safely, but others weren't so lucky. Could you please pass on a link to the listeners to donate to the recovery? It's not as bad as the floods 2 years ago here, but the other towns have been hit very hard. The link is redcross.org.au/QLD-floods-2013.aspx. What we'll do is
have Kevin put it on the Facebook page.
Tweet it and Facebook.
Kevin will put it on the Facebook page. And,
hashtag alt.
If you want to help out
Queensland.
We'll
just connect you. We'll link you over, like Maddie in the morning always.
Yes.
If you want to help out Queensland, the link will be there.
I hadn't heard of that.
No, I hadn't either.
We're such
well. There's so many,
Americans.
So much stuff going on in Brazil. You heard about that tragedy over there?
I'm not sure that's a tragedy or. It immediately reminded me of
people are going to jail. There's no doubt.
Almost the anniversary.
Almost the anniversary, and almost the exact same circumstance.
So many levels of negligence in that. They had twice the many people that are supposed to be in this place, and then they were locking doors so they could pay their bar tabs.
Right. Yeah.
Did you hear about
that? That's murder.
The security people wouldn't let people out because they hadn't thought they were running out on their bills.
That's unbelievable.
So it's sort of a tragedy, but it's sort of a terrible human act. I mean,
unbelievable.
Negligence.
Phil from Nova Scotia. Last Thursday show, Paul issued a mea culpa about blaming the defense for playoff losses going back to the 07 Super Bowl.
Oh, wow.
What?
That got overstated.
So 5 years later, Paul has changed his mind. Has he been in a fugue state since 2007?
A what state?
F-U-G-U-E.
Fugue.
Fugue. What does that mean, Eric?
Well, in musical terms, I don't think he means what it means.
Oh.
So I don't know what he means.
Maybe he means fetal. I don't know. Anyway,
my position was vastly overstated.
Every playoff loss has been because the offense has underperformed, and the biggest choke of all was in 07. This was before Brady met Mr. Pollard, by the way. And if it wasn't for the flukiest catch in football history, the defense would have won the game despite one of the best offenses
in
history.
I would agree with that. That was the
biggest
choke of all.
Being held to 14 points. So the question to ask is not have we become the Colts, but why have we become the Colts? Here is my question to you guys. In the last four playoff losses, has it been the defense or the offense that has underperformed?
Yeah, see, I think that the specific example that he uses in 07, I'm wholeheartedly with you on that one. That was a big choke job all around. You had two 80-plus yard drives allowed and only scoring 14 points for the highest scoring offense of all time. That's a colossal choke job all around. The other ones, I think you're just letting the defense off the hook. When you give up 28 points to the Jets and 28 points on Sunday, two Sundays ago, the offense didn't play well, the defense didn't play well, and you went home. It was not just on the offense.
Yeah, but it's a matter of expectation,
right,
Paul.
Underperformed.
I went into the game,
and the defense underperformed as well.
No, but I went into the game thinking the Patriots would give up 27 points.
Well, that's, you know, just because that's what you thought they were going to give up, that's more than they normally give up.
I think he means his expectation.
My expectation was that.
I know, but whatever your expectation is, I'm talking about their performance.
And it performed that's worse exactly than as I expected.
But okay, so if I just went in and said I expected the Patriots to score 13 points, I would be okay with that? I could say
that? Well, I wonder why you would expect that.
No, but I wonder why you would expect them to give up a touchdown more than they normally do.
Because I think the Ravens are a good team.
Because they stink. Their normal came from beating up on the Jags and the Dolphins.
That's the answer I was looking for.
Yeah, but that means they didn't underperform.
Right.
They stink.
Exactly.
I think that to let them off the hook because they stink is not right. That's all I'm saying.
Oh.
If
I think they stink, it's okay.
How can you go agree with you that they stink, but to let them off the hook because they're not as good as the offense.
No, but you still want to improve the defense. That's not saying the defense. Of course you need to improve the defense. It stinks. But how can you go into after that game and say that the thing that surprised you was the defense and not the offense?
The thing that surprised me was nothing. The offense is performing the way it's normally performing in the postseason.
No, you thought that this year would be different.
Well, I didn't really think that.
I didn't think they scored 13 points. And neither did you.
I didn't think they'd score 13, but I didn't think they'd score 30 either.
Okay.
I thought they would struggle to get to the high 20s. I predicted a 27-24 game. That's what I predicted before the game. I was surprised they only scored 13. And the offense absolutely deserves the lion's share of the blame.
Yeah, I think so.
Absolutely.
And I'm not saying
because they're the better of the two units.
And I'm not saying I'm fine with the defense. I am not fine with the defense.
But I think that's what people are saying.
Yeah, I'm not. Dave writes in. He's in New York. Glendale, to be exact. He says, I'm here. I can't hear you on the radio, but help. I'm surrounded by puke, green Smurfs, and blue midgets. They're mocking me as usual. Please tell me the Patriots are taking this playoff loss personal. It's the worst one ever. I can't say that. No way.
No.
The Jets in Baltimore were worse, and the Super Bowl in 07 was worse.
Yeah, that was the worst of all time.
Indianapolis 06 was worse.
Tell me we are drafting another pass rusher, another cornerback, and a wide receiver. Tell me we are
nice.
Tell me we are whipping out the checkbook and signing what we don't achieve in number one above. Please tell me we are exploring a legit running back in lieu of the running back by committee. Note, each Super Bowl we won, we did indeed have a legit running back. And please,
just like you did this year.
Please tell me we are winning at least one more Super Bowl with Tom Brady. I'll tell you that for sure.
Oh, boy.
Unlike Eric, who thinks the window is closed.
Well, he's been right.
Yeah.
Not the only
he
one
got really close
that,
to being
way.
Not right.
Right. I'm with Paul. I, you know,
look,
I still think Brady can win you a Super Bowl. Let's clear that air.
At least somebody here does.
I hate when Fred starts his sentences by saying, Paul, I'm with Paul. Because I'm very rarely with him when he finishes the sentence.
No, you're with Hector. You want to trade Brady because he stinks.
Shut up. You heard Bill.
The window is closed.
You heard Bill Barry. He's a great emailer.
All right.
What are you with me about? What did I do?
No, because you're always saying you can't always
diet
judge
habits.
A team by or a player by their stats or a team by whether or not they won a Super Bowl. I mean, they were as close to winning that Super Bowl as you could get.
Right. It's like the people
last
that say,
year,
like,
I'm
oh, you can't win a Super Bowl with Randy Moss.
Right.
You know, look, you can't win with him. Well, you know, you hear even some people say Welker.
Right.
You know, you can't really. That's the reason why they didn't win.
Yeah. That's ridiculous. All right. We got a lot more emails coming in. Food's here. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Turanza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock right now. We have Bridgestone tires in stock no matter what you drive. Remember that we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance. With over 100 ASE certified master technicians on our staff, utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment. Plus, you'll find easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out our everyday low prices now on Bridgestone Tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. We're always here to get you there.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epocher. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800.
That is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of a smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
PFW in Progress presents Car Shopping with Fred Kirsch.
You know, when I first got married, my wife's car, she had a Subaru Outback, okay? The woman across the street comes over and says, oh, you have a Subaru Outback. That's a lesbian car. And I'm up pruning the tree. I'm like, who asked you?
Never question the boss when it comes to cars.
Did you say that? Yeah, I said that to her. Who asked you? But my point is, who cares? If lesbians have adopted the Subaru Outback, but I like a Subaru Outback, I don't care.
Because there's
only people like you that have hang-ups.
No.
Take offense at it.
Did you listen?
I have a hang-up.
Nobody will ever tell Fred Kirsch or his wife what to drive. Now back to PFW in Progress.
Speaking of cars, why, after all the years of having cars and tires, we haven't come up with the ultimate tire tread? Why is it that every year a better tire tread comes out? Why haven't we figured out this is the best tire tread and this is what we're going with?
So you don't believe in advancements in engineering?
I think it's a gimmick. I think it's a way to charge us a little bit more every year.
What about all your iPhone upgrades?
Well, I think those are tangible things that you can say, oh, okay, they added this feature, they added that, they made it faster, whatever. But tire tread, I think by now we should be able to have figured out what's the best tire tread.
I think you're an idiot.
That's all I have to say about that. If anyone has anything to add to that.
Thank God.
I'm sure we have somebody out there that works for Goodyear or something like
Michelin.
Yeah.
Michelins are the good ones.
They are good. They're most expensive, but
that's
they're good tires. Yeah.
They last for a while. They're good.
Yeah.
Not Continental.
No.
I got those in my wife's car. They were like a couple months. They were already wearing down.
Is that right?
Awful. Crap. They're not a sponsor, are they?
No. I understand that there are good tires and bad tires. I'm talking specifically about the tread pattern, you know?
See, I just don't see the big advancements in price. I think that tires have always been expensive, and they've been similar. Like, you buy tires, they're a couple $100. And
well, you're buying expensive tires if they're a couple $100 each.
Michelins.
Yeah.
They're like $220 a piece or something.
Yeah, those are expensive.
That's right. That's around what they cost.
Yeah, those are.
But they're good. You just said Michelins are good.
Yeah, they are.
Everybody agrees.
I think if you have, it depends on the kind of car, you know. It shouldn't matter. I mean, for safety's sake, you should have the best tire. It's like, oh, I'm going to have a cheaper brake pad because my car's not that expensive, you know?
I'm not really a car enthusiast, you know, like some people.
But yeah.
I always wondered, like, with tires and getting flats, you know, how come the tire isn't all rubber? Like the inside is hollow. You have to fill it with air.
Right.
Why don't they make a tire that's all rubber?
Solid rubber?
Yeah, so that it doesn't go flat.
You know how hard that ride would be?
Yeah.
Is that what it is? It would be a firm ride.
You wouldn't have as good a traction because you get some of the traction from the tire kind of squishing out a little and, you know,
and ripping, ripping the road.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be able to do that with.
Yeah. Remember, like, in the old, when you had your tricycle, a lot of those were solid tires. And the ride on a tricycle was terrible. I would always complain about it. I'm looking for a smoother ride for my trike.
I don't ever recall riding a tricycle.
No?
Big wheel. But that was plastic.
Had a big wheel. That was plastic. Yeah, those were sick.
That is just beautiful right there.
But a trike, I always remember saying,
I need a smoother ride on my trike.
Didn't you push the trike? I always remember putting your foot on the back.
Well, you could. They had the little
word or something.
They had the little ledge in the back,
like a scooter.
You could do it that way.
That's what I always remember.
But what
doing.
It's for is for the person on the back that you could do two people. If you had strong legs, you could pedal your friend.
Unless your friend was fat like you,
or like you when you were a kid.
I remember the big wheels, though.
I love those.
I was fat, but big wheels. I was a big fit because you could like mine had like a brake or something, so you could
you could do a spin
or whatever and. Yeah. The big wheels where it was at. That was a good toy.
Yeah.
Now they have those crazy Razor ones that, like, they have the little spinny wheels in the back, and you can do, like, crazy spins and loops and directions. And that Razor company makes some cool products. Okay. I don't know where we're going with this discussion.
Web radio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline. Let's see. Eddie writes in, he says, how do you see the Patriots offense evolving over the next few seasons with the NFL having turned into such a passing league and the Patriots normally staying ahead of the game? Do you see them becoming a more balanced offense leaning on Ridley and Bolden as defensive coordinators plot to stop the pass featuring fast defenders? If the Patriots decided to feature physical runs that would help set up the pass, they would stay one step ahead of the game. As we see in this year's Super Bowl, both teams can run the ball effectively. And P.S., F you, Ray Lewis, just retire and take your embarrassing dance with you.
I think you've already started to see the evolution with the two tight end sets. I think a lot more teams are trying to find an Aaron Hernandez type tight end or a Gronk if they can, you know, a Gronk-like player if they can get one. So in that respect, I think they're already ahead of the curve. And yeah, I think they're trying to get more balance, which we saw this year. They were fairly successful at doing that with the running game.
I would also add the two teams that are in the Super Bowl this year, I think they both have decent running games, but they both worked very hard over the last couple of years to improve their passing game in order to score enough points to have success where they are right now, and they haven't been able to get to this point until Joe Flacco became a better quarterback, and they made the move on the other side to Colin Kaepernick to allow them to score points. They absolutely would not have won. This is just my opinion, obviously not fact. The Niners would not have come back from a 17-0 deficit if Alex Smith was the quarterback. That would have been game, set, match.
Yeah. But don't all teams in all sports
seek balance?
Yeah. Water kind of tries to level itself out. If you're great in pitching, well, then you need a better offense. If you're great on a hitting team, you need more pitching. If you're great,
it's a great point.
Big man, we need a shooter. If we have a great goalie, well, we need to score some goals.
And then every once in a while, a team has all of that, and that's one of the great teams of all time in whatever sport. The Atlanta Braves, everybody says in baseball, it's all about the pitching. It's all about the pitching. Glenn Ordway, you see it a million times.
Yeah, but he thinks Rob Ryan was a quality control coach.
The Atlanta Braves, for 12 years straight, had the best pitching in baseball but couldn't win. Because what Andy said, they were lacking in other areas. You know, the Red Sox might have looked at Atlanta and said, we need pitching like them. Because they could always hit. And they didn't have the pitching that Atlanta had.
You got to find the balance of everything.
You need everything to be great.
As many things
or be
as
so good in one thing that it overcomes
but
it.
But even that's super rare.
Yeah.
You know, it's rare to be good in everything. That's when you become a dynasty or really.
But isn't that 07 Patriots?
No.
No?
I think
that was so good in offense it overcame the
defense?
I think
it was so good in the passing game and everything else fueled off of that, personally.
Okay.
I don't think the defense was dominant. I don't think the running game was dominant. I don't think.
And I think that's a good example, though, and I understand how close they came to winning it all, but even that, I mean, historic greatness wasn't enough to win it all.
Plus, if they had lost a couple games in the regular season, that whole season would have looked differently, too. you know, if you lose to the Ravens and you lose to the Giants, well, now you only went 14-2, which has been done plenty of times by you. And then you lose in the postseason. Now no one's talking about that team.
Right.
They were just the run-of-the-mill, decent Patriots 2000s team, right? I mean, it's very close, fine line between, oh, they're great, or oh, they're not.
As Michael Silver told me, Andy, if my aunt had balls, she'd be my uncle. Remember.
Okay. Did he say it while high and drinking a beer with Michael Jordan, Lou Alcindor, and the president? Because that's what he does, just injects himself into every freaking story.
It's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, but that's okay.
No, but when he had...
You can call him Rodney Mayo and Devin McCurdy, but I can't call him what was actually his name. Funny how that works.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline. Let's go to a couple quick phone calls. Tyrone in Delaware. Hey, Tyrone. Remember, we got a lot of emails to get to.
30 seconds.
I want to add on what you guys was talking about just a while ago with the 49ers and the two teams that's in the Super Bowl. They also, they could do similar things. They could go deep, immediate, and they could run the ball, and they got solid defenses. And you guys was talking about, I want to talk real quick about the personnel moves, earlier. Talking about Gerard Mayo getting too much money. I agree with that. That's definitely too much money. Aaron Hernandez, I agree with that. The only one I'm cool with, what you guys said, you guys didn't like Vince Wilfork. I think Vince Wilfork on the ranking deserved the money. I'm not too thinking about that. And what you guys feel, before I go, what you guys feel of turning this, the New England Patriots was so successful, like, to me, turning Julian Edelman into a wide receiver from quarterback to wide receiver. What you guys think about them turning from running back to a wide receiver? And also another thing, what about Randy Moss coming back?
All right, Tyrone.
No, I don't want Randy Moss back.
I don't either.
I don't either.
He doesn't want to go back to San Francisco. So I'm not
and,
sure what he's
doing. I'm not interested in turning Demps into a wide receiver.
No, he's
well,
not.
I mean, he's a versatile athlete pass catcher. He will line up at wide receiver sometimes.
Right.
I'll have to see him before I
before
I turn that off.
He's not going to be a wide receiver. He's not going to line up like Brandon Lloyd, 72 snaps as a wide receiver.
But, and then in terms of the
I don't know enough about him. Is like, you know, did he have Percy Harvin like qualities? I know he's not as big as Harvin, height wise.
He's an athlete. I mean, they moved him around.
So I'm not necessarily. I mean, if he can run routes and catch the ball,
if you're 5'7", 120 pounds, you're not lining up at receiver every snap. You're just not.
No, but you could be a deep threat. You know, Santana Moss type.
Right.
That's what I'm wondering.
Oh, yeah. No, he won't be that.
No?
He'll be Shane Vereen, who can be a deep threat and can make some plays.
So he'd be good in space as a running back, but not as a wide
receiver.
That's what I'm saying. I need to see more of this.
Well, I'm also not sold that Jeff Demps
is going to be on the team next year.
Yeah, right.
No, I agree.
He's another one of those guys that, you know, by doing nothing, his value and his potential and everything just grew.
I think
you're a silver medal.
No, he didn't.
Your ceiling with him at this point, I think, is that he supplants Danny Woodhead.
A lot of rants today.
I think your expectation for best case scenario for him is that he supplants Danny Woodhead on the
roster. Little guy who you say, wow, he's really fast, but still wonder how people don't kill him.
And he improves the kickoff return game.
That could certainly be.
And in our playmaker talk that we had, he certainly could factor into that if he pans out. He has that kind of athleticism and that dynamic element that he could add. But that's a big if. We have no idea. He wasn't that great in Florida.
They have a bunch of those. Tavon Wilson could play into that. He could become a playmaking, big-bodied safety.
Yeah.
Nah, he didn't do it this year. I mean, I know he had forced fumble recoveries and, you know, balls in his hands a lot, but
well, that was like the guy who talked about peppers.
Also not that big. Tavon Wilson.
He's good size for a safety.
What about Tyrone's complaint?
I mean, he's bigger than Rodney Harrison.
Yeah, what about Tyrone's complaint about the fact that the Patriots haven't spent money,
close.
But he doesn't like where they're spending
it? I agree wholeheartedly.
Doesn't like Aaron Hernandez being paid?
Here's my thing. Well, I don't have a problem with any of the amounts of contracts as long as it's not at the expense of other contracts, if that makes any sense. I think that almost all of those guys got more money than I would have given them. But I am fine with paying guys what you think is you need to do to keep them, as long as you don't then sit there and say, well, the cap is going to prevent us from getting Julius Peppers, to use your example, Andy, the guy you want.
Who's still a Bear, by the way. I just need to clarify. I watched the Pro Bowl the other night, and he was making plays in a Bears helmet.
But I'm not doing what you do to me and say, well, Andy says they're going to sign him as a free agent. He's not a free agent.
Well, now,
Wilson, by the way, listed at 6'2", 210. Rodney was 6'2", 225, I think.
No.
Something like, yes, he was.
I need to see Rodney's bio.
I don't have it.
What did you have, Rodney?
That sounds about right.
6'2", 225.
He wasn't 6'2".
Oh, I believe
him. Rodney Harrison?
I don't think he was 225.
I think he was like six feet, right, Harrison?
But he's kind of right in that it's apples to apples. It's the lied
right
weight and height or whatever. So
let's go to Olivier in Virginia. Hey, Olivier.
His size for Rodney sounds
gentlemen,
good.
How are you?
Good.
Excellent. I have a few questions for you. I know we're on a time schedule, but what do you think the chances are that Brady renegotiates his contract, or at least the Patriots ask Brady to do so to free more some cap space?
Certainly possible.
He'd love to do that.
Yeah,
that
I'm sure.
That gives him more money.
And play until he's 40.
Yeah, I mean, he makes out in the end. So yeah. I mean,
he gets money up front when they do that. So he would be more than happy to do that.
And he's got to pay off that house with a moat.
Yeah, and then the other question I had was, you know, I know we only have what four draft picks this year, one in the first draft,
five.
And then five.
I believe
okay.
It's five. Yeah,
yeah, it's five.
How does it work usually for us to get more first round draft picks? Do we have to really have a terrible year for us to be able to be put in the in the first draft, or do we get? Is there a lottery, or you know, does the NFL give teams drafts whenever they feel like it? How does it work?
No, everybody gets a first round pick. The Patriots in the past have either traded a player, i.e., Richard Seymour, for an extra first round pick, or traded a second round pick or something in a previous year's draft for a future first round pick.
I see.
And they've done that a number of times over the years, or you know, even for a future first and then something else. And, you know, this year's one, the other team gives you a one and a two.
Right.
They've done that a number of times.
And the reason why the Patriots only have five this year is because they've traded away those others the opposite way. They've traded away four players. And
Haynesworth,
given away draft
Ocho,
picks.
Tlaib have eaten up their fourth and fifth round.
But they do
round
have
picks.
A first round pick this year.
Yes, 29th overall.
Yeah. And we get the first round because the NFL says, hey, Mr. Pan, here is your first round. What about second and third?
Everybody gets a single pick in all seven,
rounds.
7 rounds.
And
based on your record.
Based on your record.
The only extra picks come from compensatory selections, which come after the third round. There are 32 of them, I believe.
That sounds right.
And they are given out to teams who have net loss in free agency was the greatest based on guys they signed and guys they lost.
And no one knows the formula.
Well, there really isn't one. Everybody tries to pretend there is one. There isn't.
It's just based on how much the guys play, starting, starts and whatnot.
Who did you lose and who did you pick up and what the net loss or gain of that is?
Because there are guys that figure it out on the internet all the time.
Yeah, that's why I say it's not that big of a formula.
The guys in the message boards, like Pats fans, they'll figure it out.
Yeah. And what about when we have a trade like Fanene that, pans out to do nothing for us? Do we have compensation as well, or is it just a private?
It's just a bad one.
You signed him and pissed it away. Now they are actually, I believe, reportedly pursuing some of his $4 million signing bonus for what was that called? There's some technical term for it.
Non-disclosure of injury.
Yeah, non-disclosure of injury.
They screwed us.
Yeah,
but what's that technical term?
Yeah, you don't pick up any draft picks or anything.
No.
Like that. Yeah, you don't.
No.
All right,
Olivier. Thanks for the call.
Sorry for cutting you off.
It's all right. We're just saying goodbye. Brian,
Freddie, what do you think of this NFL Network thing where they hired a PR guy from the Cowboys to discuss media?
I think it was good because at first I thought, well, what are they doing? But with Deion Sanders and Michael Irvin on the panel with him, it made sense because they could talk about,
he could translate what they said into English.
Well, that, but also, he was on the team when they were in the Super Bowl, and he could say, this is what I told you guys to do. And in fact, they had this conversation. I remember he said, I was in the meeting, and I was trying to tell you guys what to do that week and what to try to avoid. And Michael Irvin's in the back of the meeting, fanning himself with $100 bills
and snorting line off hookers.
And I said to him, can I get
them so much
attention?
They only won by an average of 38 points in their Super Bowls.
And then Michael Irvin said, "Yeah, but we were listening to you. Don't worry. But what you have to understand is, we also realize as players, this is our moment, and whether it's during the game or the week before, we're going to use this moment to do whatever we can." This could be the difference between not getting an endorsement and getting an endorsement. So a guy like me, I'm going to say what I have to say.
Right. I'm going to call Wes Welker's wife a fool.
Right. Is that what Dalrymple was hired for?
Yeah.
He's just
analysis
talking about
of Media Day?
Yeah, and like maybe what some of the PR people were telling Ray Lewis or Terrell Suggs.
So they didn't just have him on to talk about it. They actually hired him?
Well, I would imagine he got
I would imagine he got.
Oh, he
something.
Was definitely a paid analyst. I don't know if
it's interesting.
A new no, thing
I,
they're going to do.
I know
long
nothing
term.
About this. I just saw him pop up.
I don't know if it's easy.
That would be funny.
No, well, but I can't imagine Aaron Sulkin.
Well, I think it'd be funny for well, that, anybody from the Patriots. Well, that's my point. The Patriots would never allow it.
They'd be 2 hours in and be like, Aaron, you said that story in the last hour. Brian in Excess, Vermont.
Someday?
Yeah.
There's going to be an awful lot of fire around you. Because you're just going to rot.
Brian in Essex, Vermont. Anyway, years over...
ago.
Anyway, years over onto the next, and clearly...
The oh, years over onto the next.
Oh, years over. He didn't have the apostrophe.
I know, but we were able
it's
to...
It's not that hard.
I read for comprehension. Years over onto the
How
next.
How come you don't?
And clearly...
You're not hooked
are,
on phonics.
There are
sure.
concerns over Brady at the moment. I'm in the camp who is concerned, but not about to want anyone other than Brady.
So you're not like Paul or Hector Long.
I've heard all
Shut
the,
up.
I've heard all the arguments thus far, and I was wondering if maybe there's also some effect of Brady no longer having his 21-year mechanic coach, Tom Martinez, on hand to help him fine-tune his technique throughout the season. This was his first year adjusting to the new person, right? And I was just curious if you thought that may play any role.
Yes.
You do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't see how anyone could have someone as close as he and Martinez were in as, you know, intricate a thing as throwing mechanics and not have that be an absence, whether it's mental, physical, not actually having someone to correct it, or just, you know, it was a crutch. You know, I always leaned on that.
So
and it's
you
gone.
Think in the AFC Championship?
No,
that's
I don't.
An issue?
But I think on some level throughout the season,
throughout
it was an issue.
But he had a good season.
No, I know. I'm just saying.
But in a lot of statistical categories, it's worse than about 5 years. Like completion percentage for one thing, which might be mechanical.
Like I don't know the specifics, but I don't know how you can have a guy since the eighth grade or whatever it was
something like
that you've
yeah.
leaned on every year of your life and not be affected by that.
And we saw how many times this year do we say, boy, Brady's short hopping a lot of passes.
Right. Whatever
it is.
Worst
completion
or he's overthrowing. He's overthrowing guys.
You know, this year.
Easy, Hector Jr.
His worst completion percentage since 2006.
What are we talking about?
Completion percentage.
What are the numbers?
63% was his worst since 2006.
And then what was it in 06?
61.8.
Okay.
When he had Rishay Caldwell as his lead receiver.
Okay.
Well, he did have Brandon Lloyd this year.
Not as his lead receiver.
That's true.
He had Wes Welker catch 118 passes for him.
Yeah, but he did have to. They did but, make him throw to but half Brandon
the
Lloyd 140.
I'm trying to defend his point, and he combats me. Yeah. I think that there is something to Tom Martinez. I think that if you look at...
No, I'm not saying he lost the game on Sunday, or he one-hopped a game, or he chose not to run.
Fred's
or
not he saying he ever threw an incomplete pass all year. It's unbelievable. He still thinks that
you
he
don't
played better
that,
this
though.
Year
you don't
than
think,
he ever has.
I mean,
I don't think the problem's Tom Brady.
To me, I don't either.
Because every time he doesn't
that
play well...
That wasn't the question.
You don't think
was
that was the
question?
Problem? You and Greg Bedard.
Well, look, and the list of things we need to improve in this team, it's not quarterback.
Well, I got to tell you something. The list of things that need to improve in the playoffs.
Why are we wasting time talking about Tom Brady?
The list of things that need to improve in the playoffs. Tom Brady's pretty high on the list.
Yeah, it's way down on the list of things they need to
not.
Do on this team.
Not in the playoffs. It's not.
So what are they going to do? Get a new quarterback for
they
the playoffs?
They got to find out why it keeps happening.
Okay.
Trade him. Arizona. That's what Longo says.
Well, it's just so ironic. It'll probably get better when he turns.
You'll go to your deathbed defending Drew Bledsoe, but when it comes
to
Tom
I don't.
Brady,
did I ever defend Drew Bledsoe in playoff loss? What playoff
well,
loss?
There weren't a lot of them.
There weren't a lot of playoff losses. I agree. We're on the same page. There weren't a lot of playoff
a lot of
losses.
Opportunities.
But I never defended him when they lost 7-6. I'll tell you that.
Fumbled. Cat.
Exactly.
Cat.
Yeah, we got to thank her for lunch. Kat.
Oh, Kat bought the lunch?
Yes.
Oh, thanks for lunch,
Don't
Kat.
Don't be afraid to read the screen.
There. Thank Kat in Chicago for today's lunch.
Thank you, Kat. It was tremendous. I can't say that
Whatever
word.
Whatever that word was.
But it's because I'm so excited that the cookies were as good as they've been in a while.
Yeah,
that,
nice and
that
soft.
That barely cooked, just moist and warm and
oh boy.
Like bags of sand.
Kat in Chicago says it's a psychiatric term. She's referring to fugue state. It is similar
to a severe...
Oh, wow.
She bitch slapped you two with some knowledge.
It is similar to a severe...
I never heard that word in my life.
So? She still bitch slapped you. You said the person wasn't using it right.
What did you
say? I said in musical terms, I don't think he's using it as a musical term.
Of course he wasn't.
Well, it's a...
I didn't know there was another
term
for it.
She didn't use it?
No, she didn't use it. Somebody else. She's.
Oh, she's just explaining it.
We asked what that meant. We didn't know.
No, but that guy, it's a psychological term, did she say?
Well, let me finish. It is similar to severe memory lapse or amnesia due to a traumatic event.
Yeah, he used it, right?
People experiencing a few can forget even their own identity and typically feel a need to travel.
Yeah, Phil used it, right?
Or leave their current unknown home area. Depending on the length of time of the fugue, hours, days, and sometimes months, sufferers have been known to establish new lives before they come out of the fugue and regain their memories.
He's saying it like Cleveland.
Patriots football daily is
a fugue.
He's saying it the way Will would say it, too. He's got the fugue.
So what did the guy say? I don't recall.
He said that
I've been in my fugue state.
He was saying that I was sort of forgetting about all the other offensive incompetent moments in the playoffs. Evidently, Fred does, too, because it's not a part of, you know, low on the priority list when we score 14 points in the playoffs.
Can you fake a fugue?
Can you fake a fugue?
I'm just saying. It sounds like a reason. Oh, honey, I was on a fugue. I went and banged that blonde and had some beers.
Well,
and
I don't think necessarily.
You were in a fugue state? I don't think.
Sorry, honey. I was in a fugue state.
I don't think
ask Kat in Chicago. She knows all about it.
Everything in a fugue state, I don't think, is just, you know, excused. Oh, it's okay. It's not like
I killed that guy.
About.
I was in a fugue state, so I murdered somebody.
Maloney's going to walk about.
Sounds like a temporary insanity.
Philip definitely
used
that properly.
Forget who you are.
Yeah, so
I never heard that.
I can do whatever I want when I'm in a fugue.
Yeah.
I think you were in a fugue at the first half hour of the show. You were
I may have been. Sorry, Ray. I was in a fugue.
Juve.
How do you spell it?
F-U-G-U-E.
F-U-G-U-E. That's a word with Friendsworth. A few good men.
Juve writes in, thanks for everything you do. You have made our loss easier to deal with by being on the air and being yourselves. I have not watched any football-related television since our last game. I will root for the 49ers because I cannot stand you-know-who, and I will only turn to watch it on Sunday just before kickoff. This is actually one of the few times that I'll watch the game for the commercials. Hope you guys enjoy the game and always look forward to your show. Thank you, Juve.
Appreciate I like the commercials, too. I'm looking forward to them.
Got a couple emails here that are, like,
I have too many
columns.
People in the house. That's when I get up and I get my stuff. Commercials. Get my food.
David writes in, I haven't emailed in a long time. However,
get my food on.
I persuaded my wife, by some miracle of God, to let me buy tickets to the AFC Championship game. We bought plane tickets and flew out from Iowa.
Oh.
I dropped $650 on tickets, bought a Gronk jersey at the stadium, and introduced my wife, who was a Vikings fan?
Vikings?
V-I-Q-U-E-E-N-S. V-Queens? I guess she means Vikings.
V-Queens.
Yeah.
He's mocking
the team.
Okay. All right. I introduced my wife, who was a Vikings fan, what the motherland of success looks like. It was an awesome experience with a real bad result while freezing our asses off.
Plus, he spent a couple grand on that.
Yeah.
That would leave me in a fugue, too.
And he's the reason why we
live. Question.
It's a fugue you.
Yes. I'm on the Patriots season ticket waiting list because I'm a diehard, but what is the point of the ticket exchange? There isn't one season ticket holder that puts their tickets up for sale through that venue. They all post their tickets on StubHub and then gouge the out of state fans
for
all they
air?
Can if they want to get tickets to the game. I thought season ticket holders would get in trouble for selling their tickets any other way. Am I missing something? What is the purpose of the Patriots ticket exchange if season ticket holders aren't being forced to resell their tickets through it? I've been to 7 Patriots games and only 2 at Gillette. I had never been to a game where the Patriots had lost, and the biggest game I've ever gone to in my first postseason game, my Patriots crapped themselves. What the F? Fred, I'll keep the faith, but damn it, Brady and Belichick need one more ring to cement their rightful place as the best ever. Belichick, make this offseason count. Well, as far as the ticket exchange, they don't have to post them on there. But I think I've seen for most games, maybe not the AFC Championship games, but there's a certain amount available for each game. But the thing is, they can post them anywhere they want. But if someone were to buy a ticket, let's say StubHub, and then get in trouble at the game, the season ticket holder would be liable and could lose their season ticket holders. Whereas opposed to on Ticket Exchange, if someone buys it off Ticket Exchange, they would not get in trouble if the person who bought it got kicked out of a game. That's the difference. Also, Ticket Exchange, you're not allowed to charge more than the face value.
Now I know why season ticket holders are using other sources.
Right, but you have the safety thing. So if you're just trying to get your money back and you don't have to worry about people misusing it, you go to Ticket Exchange. If you want to maximize your money, you go somewhere else. but then you run the risk of losing your season tickets.
You know, a lot of people talking about the amount of Ravens fans that were at the game, too. Upset about that.
Including the Ravens.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, not upset about it, but a lot of Ravens were acknowledging that there were a lot of people.
A lot of people were watching on TV all, you know, really all across the world and wondering why there were so many Ravens fans that had access to tickets.
Yeah.
They went to StubHub, apparently.
Evidently.
Not the Ticket Exchange.
No.
Can you do that with other teams?
What's
how,
that?
Wait, how does Ticket Exchange work?
It's part of Ticketmaster, so if you're a season ticket holder, you don't want to go to a certain game. You can go to Ticket Exchange and post those tickets for that game. And I'm not sure if you get your money right away or if it goes, but yeah, I don't think you get paid until the, you know, Ticketmaster gets paid, but you put your tickets up but only people on the wait list
can get
and other season ticket holders have access to it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's not available to the general public.
Now, could a Patriots season ticket holder, Ticket Exchange user be able to buy tickets through other teams or no?
I don't think it crosses over like that, no.
Because that would be really
cool. That would be really good.
Like, let's just say that you were
a season ticket holder network.
Yes.
Well, that's a great idea.
But even
Thank you. Glad I came up with it.
Season ticket holder
network. Do something about it, Fred.
He is an idea
man. I'm an idea man.
That's a good idea.
I had a good one upstairs. I can't tell you because it could be my million-dollar idea.
Okay.
But I have a good one that is going to monetize something that, oh, boy, I'm out.
Right.
I'm going to buy an island.
Does it have to do with boobies?
No, actually.
Oh, okay.
Interestingly enough, not. I've yet to find a way to monetize those.
Does it
especially,
have to do with
thank you to VIP strippers. For the corporate contribution to the marathon efforts.
Oh, speaking of boobies?
Paid for by boobies. Literally, by boobies.
Let's see. Nathan writes in, thought it would be a good idea to do an evaluation or grade for some of the players that were supposed to be keystones.
Lloyd F.
It might be interesting to hear what areas they should improve on next year. Fred, if you could read off the list and have the others comment. Tavon Wilkinson.
There's no such player by that
name. I know.
He's,
I think he's being funny.
I'll take the guy on the Jets.
Devon Wilson.
C.
Yeah. Minus. I'm a tough grader.
Still to be determined.
C minus?
No Harvard A's in this area.
Yeah, C.
How about Devin McCourtney?
Now you've changed the wrong name you
He's
have.
He's doing it. I'm just doing
B.
Devin McCourtney.
Minus.
As a safety.
C.
B minus.
Oh, just as a safety?
Yeah, as a safety. Let's say as a safety.
Oh, we're eliminating all the bad part of the year, so I'll give him a B plus.
Okay. Yeah.
B.
I mean, that's like, I'm going to eliminate all the questions you got wrong and just grade you on the ones you got right.
Well, Dante Hightower.
That's
C.
C minus. I was disappointed he was below average.
C.
Or below expectations, right. Not below average.
C plus.
I had higher.
I was hoping for more, but he had a better year than you think.
Nah, he didn't.
Chandler
Jones. It looks better on paper than it was?
Yeah. Watch the games, Perillo.
Chandler Jones, C plus.
B minus.
B plus.
B plus, really?
C plus.
Somewhere in between.
If you're just grading the first half, B plus, but I
well,
think...
Well, I've eliminated all bad plays. You
no,
taught me that on McCourty.
It's a different position.
I will give Patriots fans credit.
Oh, only at DB do you eliminate all plays.
But I often go with that line, the Patriots are Patriots fans feel like they're undefeated in games they never played. You know, in 06, if we didn't blow the lead against Indianapolis, we would have beaten Chicago.
But that's not true anymore.
You know,
because they said they were going to get killed by the Niners.
It's no longer true. I have it at about 9-1 now. We are in games that we never played. A lot of people have said to
me, were just going to get...
they didn't feel like they had a chance against San Francisco in the Super Bowl. And I'd never heard that from Patriots fans before. Always, they would have beaten Chicago in the Super Bowl.
Is Colin Kaepernick a Hall of Fame quarterback? Colin Kaepernick, a Hall of Fame quarterback, because I like your little thing. When was the last time a guy wasn't going to go to the Hall of Fame on a Hubo?
Well, this, you know.
So one of these two guys
either
is
going to
break the
mold
or is a future Hall of Fame quarterback.
I don't think Joe Flacco will ever be in the Hall of Fame. Colin Kaepernick, this is his 10th start. I'm willing to say that he could become a Hall of Fame quarterback, but based on what I've seen so far, no.
Plus, you don't like his tattoos. You were very open and honest early on.
You don't like it either.
No, I don't dislike it.
You don't like
it.
The look. You don't like the way he talks. You don't like what he says. You don't like his cocky
attitude. You're misportraying. I said we've never seen a quarterback like him on this stage. That doesn't mean I don't like it. I watched the Pro Bowl, and they had a Dan Patrick halftime interview, and he just had his winter hat sitting on top of his head, tats everywhere, the goatee. He's obviously I don't even know what his race is, but You know, he's not the white traditional.
It's so obvious that you don't even know what it is.
But whatever, he doesn't look like you'd think the halftime interview with a quarterback looks like. You're used to Tom Brady, Eli Manning, Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, I've never seen one of those. All these. When that happened.
That's true. Tom Brady doesn't do those things. You see that, Fred?
What?
24 guys, 24 quarterbacks that won Super Bowls sat down with ESPN to tell, like, behind-the-scenes stories. Three guys didn't, because there's only 27 that have won Super Bowl. Terry Bradshaw, Phil Simms, and
he was busy.
Of course he was.
And Terry Bradshaw works for Fox, so he didn't do it for ESPN. And Phil Simms works for CBS, so he didn't do it for ESPN. And
Tom Brady works for TB12 and Giselle Inc. and the Moat Squad, and so he didn't do it.
Someone asked me a question the other day, you know, someone who's kind of a sports fan but not really into it. Do you think that other players who, you know, in the NFL kind of like look down on Brady for not going to the Pro Bowl any year? Like, you know, what are you, too good for us?
No.
You don't think other players,
no,
you
I don't
know,
think they care.
Kind of put off by that?
I think they're put off by some stuff he does, not that.
I don't think players care about that.
Yeah, I don't either, but it's a legitimate question for someone who does look at it from the outside in.
I like, do think
you
it's
know,
interesting.
You get picked every year, but you're too
right,
good
because,
to go.
Because Will Fork and Welker have gone, and I think that they were legitimately banged up. Whereas I get the impression that Brady just doesn't want to be bothered with going. Like, I'm not going.
I
do think there's a difference between that.
Like he's making a point.
I agree with Andy. I don't necessarily think players care about that.
I don't.
But I don't. If he got criticized for that, I could understand why.
I know we got some emails and
we got a lot of
fans
emails about it.
In Hawaii and people that were like disappointed.
I was surprised because I actually had a conversation with No Socks about it. And you know, Matt Smith was
how'd
saying
you squeeze that into your 4-hour lunch.
it was only 3.5. When who's saying about how Goodell really wanted to sort of put an effort into this one, and Manning sort of was trying to rally the troops a little bit with some rah rah,
right.
You know, for the league. You know, and someone asked Peyton Manning about it. He said, "Well, it's an honor to be selected by your peers and by the fans, and I feel like I owe it to the league to be here." And that might come off as a little sanctimonious. And maybe over the top, but I just think I look at it in contrast to Brady, who when was the last time he went?
Actually went and played?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
03?
Probably back then.
Back
yeah.
then sometime. I don't know exactly.
It's been a while. And I just thought that you know, and I didn't really think that much of it. I thought it was typical No Socks sort of.
Did
you
he
know.
Go the year that Bill coached? What was it, 06?
The year before they signed Adalius Thomas, so that'd be 05, right?
No, that Bill went. Yeah. I'm talking about Brady.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if I'm asking.
You sure that Brady was there?
I don't know.
I don't know. He's asking.
I don't remember if he did or not.
That was 06. That was the 06 season, early 07.
Because we lost to the Colts that year.
Yeah,
that was
and it was still the after the Super Bowl. Real quick news item. Last Monday, the last day of access, Chandler Jones spoke to us and said that he was having consultations with the medical staff about whether he should have surgery on his, it turns out it's his left ankle, that the most recent one that he hurt. According to Paul's guy, Jeff Howe, a source says he did not need ankle surgery. So that's good news if that report is true.
Did not or would not?
Yeah, he wrote, did not need ankle surgery.
Words have meaning, Andy.
Well, I think they do. And he tweeted that he was going to the Super Bowl, so I assumed he wasn't having ankle surgery. That does not mean he will not have ankle surgery after the Super Bowl.
True.
Because he's going to see his brother,
yep.
Arthur.
Right.
Jones.
Brett in Illinois. First, let me say it was a great season with a poor ending. I'm glad that the Patriots made it as far as they did. The fans in Chicago would
give
their left nut
with a poor
to make
ending.
It to the conference championship game year after year. But I have one comment. Fire
My
Brian Daboll from his consulting position right now. You were brought in to consult one of the best offenses in the league, and the offense goes out and lays an egg. Coincidence? I think not.
I like this email.
Also,
I like Brian, but that's a funny email.
I got my first game day program at the game, and what do I see? Big Head's picture on the show with Spider Solitaire on his screen? Thanks for focusing on the show, Andy. Also, the picture must have been taken on one of the days when Chaz was not in the studio. Oh, wait, that's most of the time. What?
I don't know, but Daboll.
Oh, boy.
Check. Andy. Check. Chaz. Check. That's you, Eric.
There's no Chaz.
No, there's a Twitter account. Everything's real on the internet.
Brooklyn Matt.
Where'd you get that? The internet.
Speaking of
bonjour.
Speaking of checks, Greg Bedard definitely had Paul Perillo / PFW in Progress check with
for
his
what?
Sunday notes last week. You know, his big thing about how it wasn't had nothing to do with Brady. You know, it was the whole team. The whole team didn't play well, and I was, you know, of course, my response would be, well, thanks, but you know, he's the most important guy in the team and the highest paid player on the team and the one that we rely on the most on the team, and him not playing well sort of eliminates the chances of you winning. So that was my point. But yeah, he checked us off his list.
He's holding out hope for you know, an invitation to the castle out in L.A.
What is it, the moat?
I still don't. That just boggles my mind, a moat.
Oh, it boggles my mind how someone could say that the quarterback not playing well is okay because everybody else didn't play well. That boggles my mind.
Brooklyn Matt, hey, Andy.
He's not here. You can't argue with him.
What was that?
The DB who's made up. Yeah, I'm here. Go.
What was that earlier with the Stephen Ridley Goldilocks reference? His porridge is not too hot, not too cold, but just right. That was so cute, you tard.
That's not okay.
And Eric.
You H-mo.
Oh, boy. And Eric. Eric, Mr. Rhode Island. What, you need a history refresher course? The Station Nightclub's fire 10th anniversary is going to be on February 20th. Time flies, huh? And Andy, that was definitely one night music. Was overrated because that band Great White sucks. I don't know what he's talking about.
Great White was the band that played at the station the night it caught fire.
And by the way, that's exactly what we said.
And we said it's almost
arrogant
a year
a-hole.
To the anniversary.
Femme fatale, fake.
The 10-year anniversary is coming up. They all the news stations mentioned that when this thing in Brazil happened. It's coming up on the 10th anniversary.
Yeah.
Let's see. Jess writes in, do you think we'll see the summer of Gronk part due this offseason?
Yep.
Or do you think with the arm injury followed by the arm injury that Gronk might be feeling his mortality a bit more and he'll step back and let J.J. Watt take a turn at the league's main meathead?
No. What is he, 23?
Is J.J. Watt a big party animal?
Oh, I have no idea. No. I just don't. I mean,
I don't think
there was nothing more overrated than the summer of Gronk.
Yeah, as he proved.
And as he pointed out. It's my job to work out for whatever, 2 hours a day, 4 hours a day. The other 24, I'm a 20-year-old. I'm going to take advantage of my lot in life, which is one of the most fun-loving, popular guys on the planet.
Yeah. Would you do it and be so out there about it, or would you do it and
why not?
Still have the, you know, have fun, but not like
you. First of all, in this day and age, you can't do it without being out there.
Yeah.
I mean, it just doesn't happen.
People record you on their cell phones.
Right.
They post them on YouTube.
If you want to have fun and live that life,
you have to expect
you
that it's
have to
be
out there. You know, it happens, and you can't complain about it. And he never did. No. I don't once. You know, I remember
Brady
has complained
on the field
about that
all.
Kind of crap. But Gronk is okay, I think, with kind of reaping what he sows.
His
so
offseason last year had zero effect on his breaking his forearm once or twice.
Or anything.
Zero.
Had zero effect on him being good or
once
bad.
Or twice.
I mean, he broke it twice.
No, I know. It's just funny the way you said it.
Well, it didn't affect the first one, but the second time was due to the offseason.
You're getting your wish, by the way. That Ray Lewis, you know, connected to banned substances thing is really starting to spread on Twitter.
Oh, good. Well, when you're a bad guy and you call others fools and other people's wives fools and quote the Bible, those who are living in glass houses shall not cast the first stone.
The SI.
I think the Bible says that,
Ray. Is
that Ray.
The story that you were referring to?
Like, not about the glass
SI?
Houses.
Whatever,
yeah,
you know.
I know what you mean.
You know what I mean. Well, I'm not sure he got it right either. I think he mixed a common saying with a Bible verse just like I just did.
I heard it was he who live in glass house get dressed in cellar.
Yeah. Now it's Confucius.
Confucius.
Say. He who live in he who go to bed with itchy bum wake up with smelly finger.
Michelle in Stockholm.
That's the Confucius line.
Yeah, and he added the Confucius voice.
Give me the pros and cons with potentially getting Ed Reed on our roster. I see the pro as his experience would benefit our young backfield. The con is he's old. Also, I'd like to know what the rules are for working out the newly signed CFL players. Can that be done now before the draft? I'm intrigued by the signing, but since I have no clue about the level of CFL, I'd like to hear more. And also, I'm so over Ray Lewis and his crying
Thank
and constant
you.
Talk about God. We get it. You're Christian. But please, I hope Randy gets his ring that he deserves for an excellent career.
Well, the Canada guys were signed to futures contracts.
Okay.
Right.
Which means they don't take effect until.
So we have to honor the league year when we sign guys from another league? Like, just
yeah.
asking,
you sign, if you sign a guy who's not on our roster. That's a futures contract until the new year starts.
But can we? Can they be here working out and stuff right now?
Well, there's rules about this. The new CBA. There's rules about when you can work
out.
Yeah,
that's
true.
No,
that's true.
Right.
Yeah, because now they come under the CBA.
When is that?
I think it's
in April now.
It's April now. You
think it's
March.
April before you can start OTAs,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but you can also work out in the facility by yourself, and that's
it. Just can't
oh,
be.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Can't
I know Mike Reese tweeted that Armstead was supposed to be in town on Sunday. I don't know what that
means.
And
I will say there have been players coming in and out of the facility on a fairly regular basis the last week and a half.
Some of them here for rehab. Some
Just to work
injuries,
out. Yeah, why join Golds when you can come here?
You brought up rehab. I'm pretty sure I saw Jake Ballard this morning.
Sure.
And that's you know, part of that stuff, but it can't be a formal workout where the coaches are sitting there running through whatever the program that you do in the off season is. That can't start until April.
There are
whatever the date is. I don't know what the date is.
There are weird instances, and we saw one last year with Marcus Stroud, where if you're a vested veteran and you get cut during the previous season and you're not on an NFL team, you can sign with anybody at any time. And Marcus Stroud did that, and then somebody just did so with the
cut.
Somebody just did so with the Bengals. You and I were talking about that the other day, Andy. A name player signed with the Bengals.
I know who you're talking
about. Yeah, and he would have been, you know, he's a free agent.
Aaron Maben.
Yeah, Paul loves
correct.
Him.
Aaron Maben.
He doesn't like Brady, but he loves Aaron Maben.
Oh, for God's sakes.
So there are these weird rules about when you can sign people or whatnot. But and the other con, one other thing, the other con to Ed Reed playing here is that we'd have to endure questions to Bill every day about how great is Ed Reed.
Well, the other con is he doesn't really fit. We have plenty of free safeties. We need a strong safety.
Somebody writes in, what's the point of having Ticket Exchange if it's only for season ticket holders? If I had tickets, why would I be looking for seats? It's mostly for
waiting list
people.
It's people who want season tickets and can't get them.
You have to pay to be on the waiting list, but that gives you access to
a nominal fee, right?
Yeah, I think it's $100.
I like the term nominal. To who?
Yeah.
Because Bill Gates' idea of a nominal fee and mine might be different.
I agree.
Steve from California, while everyone around here is getting pumped for the Niners, I'm still getting over the fact that football, specifically Patriots football, is now over. Time to look forward to 2013. I've been reading some articles saying that some pressure needs to be taken off of Brady and that we are relying too much on him. I remember before the Ravens game, Paul, you specifically said, if Brady plays a good game, the Patriots will win. I entirely agreed with you. The problem was he seemed to get in his own head, which seems to be a recurring theme when we play the Ravens, or the Giants for that matter. Knowing Brady, though, don't you think he wouldn't have had it any other way? Also, I watched the old Patriots game, the 2011 game against the Chargers, and really realized how amazing this offense has been for the past 5 years now, except for 08, of course. It was a great reminder for me to not take this historic offense for granted because, honestly, it won't last forever. So here's a question for you. How many holes on this offense if Brady were to announce his retirement tomorrow? What?
Say that last part again. How many holes?
How many holes on this offense, I guess, would there be? If Brady were to announce his retirement tomorrow,
A lot.
I don't get the
Only one more than there currently are.
Yeah,
you would need
a
quarterback.
I think his point is.
But how much does Brady raise the level of those other guys? Yeah. Where if he's not here, they go down, and you're like, we don't have any.
Receivers. I still think Gronk would be the best tight end in football.
That would be true. You would need an outside receiver to be much better than Brandon Lloyd.
Which
you probably
need
better running backs than you have. You probably need better offensive tackles than you have. I kind of agree with his point. I think if Ryan Mallett was the quarterback tomorrow, he'd get sacked 50-plus times.
Well, but that's not fair because he stinks.
Yeah.
Okay, I think if another quarterback was their quarterback other than, say, you know, Peyton Manning or Aaron Rodgers, well, I'm putting Aaron Rodgers in there. He'd probably
get sacked
40-plus times too.
Yeah.
See, I go with the butterfly effect. I think part of Brady's greatness doesn't require all of them to necessarily do all they – I think it would just be different. You wouldn't score as many points. You would not have the high-powered offense. But you might be different and good. And, I don't know. I still think they have some talented guys on this offense.
Well, no question that you'd have two excellent tight ends. I mean, one, the best in the league.
Yeah, can we pump the brakes on excellent for Aaron Hernandez?
Really?
I just he had a terrible year.
Okay.
No. But he had a terrible year.
All right, he had a bad year. Based on the expectations we have from him.
Based on the expectations of what he is as a $50 million tight end.
Are you abandoning him?
No, I'm not. But let's not just assume that he's excellent. He's regressed the last 2 years.
But you don't see the ability.
He's always hurt and he drops too many balls.
Okay, but you don't see the ability and you don't think that he could have a great year next year?
He could. He's not excellent. He's not a given. He is not a given at this point in his career.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. He's not a given to be on the field. He's not a given to catch the football.
Okay.
So that is not a given. That is not excellence. You, for one, have taught me that excellence, greatness, Hall of Fames should mean something.
Right.
Is he an excellent tight end?
You don't need to think
about it.
Is
he an excellent tight end?
I think when he's healthy, yes.
Oh, when he's healthy and he catches the football and doesn't fumble, he's excellent. You're right.
And I was
just like Devin McCourty was excellent except for the first 10 games when he was a terrible corner.
Yeah, I was.
If we're
going to
eliminate the negative, then everybody's excellent.
I think that health is a big deal about – I think that in this league, you know, you can't have an excellent career without health being part of it. If you're always hurt, then it's going to stop you from being
excellent. So I'll remove one of my questions about him. The other is, why is he dropping the damn football so often?
He's got to work on that.
Okay, so he's not excellent.
Yeah.
Thank you.
He has the potential to be excellent.
Oh, certainly.
Yes.
But he is not excellent.
Because I would say
a lot of guys have the potential to be excellent.
But there's a lot of guys out there.
Is Chandler Jones an excellent pass rusher?
Not yet.
I believe he has the potential to be an excellent pass rusher.
Okay.
But he is not an assumed.
Not yet.
Rob Gronkowski scores double-digit touchdowns when he plays. He's excellent. That's what excellence is. Tom Brady throws you 35 touchdowns and 8 interceptions when he plays. That is excellence.
And Hernandez has
the
potential.
Hernandez is a stone's throw away or maybe a little further from being excellent.
Right.
Yeah, and I
agree with that.
I used the word that set Andy off, but I do think he's right. I don't think he's excellent. He's had 3 years, two of which he's been okay.
And
one of them he was pretty good.
Part of what bothers me, and you know, you've coined me this, whatever, I'm the Gronk apologist, man love, whatever. You don't have two excellent tight ends. You don't have two of anything. You have Gronk, and then you have Hernandez.
But just because
don't pair those two up.
Yeah, but just because
do you have
said
two capable
both...
quarterbacks, Ryan Mallett and Tom Brady? I mean, we don't pair up those things.
There's a big difference there.
But between Gronk and Hernandez.
No, there's a big difference between those comparisons.
Yeah,
no,
I mean, one of them is not.
I mean, if Ryan Mallett's worth a sixth pick
Ryan
in the draft.
Ryan Mallett's not on the field.
Now he's worth a sixth pick of the draft. That's what people say.
That's what Who's Mike Lombardi, that? Well, people are saying
Mike
about
Lombardi said he's worth a sixth pick of the
probably.
Draft.
Right. Oh, God.
He's a fob.
This is quite, one of your best shows of all time.
I really think my best aspect of this show was, I just don't understand why Kwame Harris, he stays in the Bay Area, he goes from Stanford.
Never mind.
All right. That really was honest to goodness. I hadn't thought about
it. The light went off.
I didn't
go
through. Because it happens a lot.
It does happen.
I mean, like Ronnie Law and Jerry Wright, a lot of guys jump the Bay in different.
Andre Carter.
Jerry Rice. It's all coming together now.
That's a nice part of the country. All right, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW
Starting
Progress.
To come together for Andy.
We will be back on Thursday at noon.
Roger Craig.
See you then.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.